The Pit Imps is brought to you this week and every week by the Brainstorm Brewery.
Picture a man going on a journey beyond sight and sound. He's entered the demilitarized zone.
And this is the Pit Imps Podcast. I'm your host, Angelo. And with me this week is a couple special guys. We have Mr. John Celso.
What up, what up?
Mr. Mike Hardy.
What up, what up?
And that other dude you heard, that was a fucking legend. Okay, I know you guys have heard about this, and I wanted to start the show on this because I would feel bad if I didn't, because flat out, I am a huge comedy fan, and the passing of Robin Williams kind of fucked up. He took his own life, and the dude is a legend. He has touched your life if you watch movies or TV. I don't care if it's Mork and Mindy to Popeye to fucking Good Will Hunting to Mrs. Doubtfire to Aladdin to Dead Poets Society. Fuck, he was in so much stuff. Sad day that he passed. He was one of the true comedy geniuses. I know if I would see him on a talk show at night, I absolutely would turn in because I knew he was going to act like an idiot and make me laugh. And there's very few people out there who really you can say that about. And look, I'm not one to do this. 99.9% of the people in Hollywood could die today, and I really wouldn't give a flying fuck. This just happens to be one that I do care about. So I want you all to do me a favor right now, okay? You know that thing that you're probably using to listen to this? You call it a phone? I want you to pull that motherfucker out your pocket, okay? Got it? I'll wait. Make sure you grab that motherfucker out, okay? Go under contacts and hit add new, okay? And I want you to put in this number, 1-800-273-8255. That is the National Suicide Prevention Hotline. It is never too late, as long as people are breathing, to give them help when they have depression. Look, we're in a community where everybody has known being picked on before in their life. And if you see somebody pushing towards that edge, you need to give them this number. I'm not giving it to you for you. It's for somebody else, somebody you know, more than likely. And if you need it, fuck, use it. We don't need anybody else taking their own life. This is a very permanent solution to what's usually just a temporary problem. Excuse me. Please, suicide's a real deal, and we lost a legend because of it. Now we'll move on with the show. Oh, by the way, Corey, calm down. This is not our last show. I know you believe that. This is hilarious to me. Ryan couldn't be with us. Is it? Ooh. Ryan couldn't be with us tonight because, well, remember last week he had like those problems where he was floating in and out and in and out and in and out. His voice wasn't steady. Well, the reason for that was because he was using his phone. His computer was kind of on the fritz, and he got the updating parts, you know, to fix everything, but he got them a bit late, and he's doing it now as we're casting. So he was unable to show up. Luckily, these two good gentlemen right here, they literally answered a last-minute call. Like, I hit them both up at the same time, like 5 minutes before we started casting. I'm going, dudes, are you free? And both of them said yes. So, golf clap for you guys.
Wait, I thought we were permanent co-hosts. I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, you made me sign that paper.
Right, yeah, I was about to ask. What did I just sign?
That was your soul?
I told you something,
but it turned out to be something else.
Joke's on you.
That's the fourth time this month. God damn it. At least I got sandwiches three out of the other three times. God.
Yeah, this time there was no sandwich. There wasn't even bacon this time.
Man, hose.
I just want to make sure I have that, you know? I don't get you to sign it constantly.
Okay, here's a question for you guys. All these people that sell their soul, what are all these souls used for? I mean, other than powering, like, dark infernal demons and whatnot. Like, if a human sold their soul to another human, what does he do with it? Sell it to somebody else? Is it just, like, a soul trade?
I have no clue, because I am a god.
I believe you attack players and planeswalkers with them.
Yes, you do.
Because they linger.
Well, yeah, they have their 1-1 flyers and...
or their 6-6 mythic creatures?
Well, yeah, but you know what? I mean, none of
that's
that
a little
important.
Current.
I doubt any of you are the souls of Earth.
That's a pretty big soul to fill.
Yeah, plus we're pretty convinced that's a woman, right? I mean, we do call her Mother Earth.
That is true.
And but I don't think you two are women.
No. Or are we?
Ooh.
This is a podcast full of questions. No answers, just questions.
Come here, sexy. Let me find out. I'll get to the bottom of this.
Wow, this just became Pinimps Penitentiary all of a sudden.
Yeah, we stumbled into the Imps prison in the middle of all this unexpectedly.
Boy, you got a pretty mouth.
Yeah, we didn't sign over a deal to become co-hosts. We signed a deal to be permanently placed into the Imps prison. That's what happened.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I can't wait till that gets back started again. To be real.
Hell yeah.
Me neither. I love that show.
I'm lining up guests. I'm starting to do some recordings.
Clues better be at the top of the list.
He's on there. I talked to him about it. The last time I was on Monday Night Magic, we was like, yep, let's figure out a date. I'm already coming up with my science questions. He's going to be ready to answer them, hopefully. I hope I stump him, honestly, but I doubt I will.
I mean, he's the Neil deGrasse Tyson of the magic community, so.
He absolutely is, and I guess that makes me the Chuck Nice.
That's one way to go deep.
Or the Eugene Merman. For anyone who listens to Star Talk, they know what I'm talking about.
Oh, both of you got it? Okay, good.
I'm okay. Just slowly nodding and going, okay.
Yeah, okay. Hey, if you guys want to listen to my good podcast episode, you'd know what I was talking about.
Oh, no, I know the podcast that you speak of. I just haven't listened to that area of the podcasting world yet. Ooh. I said yet, be fair.
To be fair, yes, you did say yet. Speaking of yet, because I don't really have a good transition into this, GP Portland.
Yet they were still GPing over in Portland.
They were
playing Magic.
It's really funny. With half of the field being completely hammered off of their ass over at the SVU house, the people you would expect to win won.
Exactly.
Their field was not as tough as it should have been. And as I've said before, Team Limited is very hard to go over, so I'm just going to like go over the top four teams. And you guys will be able to guess real quick who won. So Severson, Wheats, and Scholar Up.
Sure.
I'm going to let you drown on that one.
I swear to God, that sounds like a hooker's trick.
Or like a disease from the 1820s.
That'd be cholera.
That only pirates get.
Scholar Up sounds like, you know, you're, never mind. Catch You and Painter. Scholar Up and, Wheats and Severson wins that 2-1. Frolic, LSV, and Cheon versus Turtenwald, Jensen, and Duke. Wow, that's a matchup.
That's five Hall of Famers? Four future Hall of Famers. I guess Turtenwald and Duke aren't in there, but pretty much assumed there.
Yeah, is it
six?
Is it is it the original team, Channel Fireball versus Pantheon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, Paul Cheon's on that team. I don't know if he's actually, cause I don't know if he was qualified for the PT before this, so.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, you just assume that by association with LSV.
Right, yeah. LSV trolls Cheon's videos all the time, so.
Fair. But somehow Turtenwald, Jensen, and Duke beats the super team. Wait, they're both super teams. What am I talking about? So Severson, Wheats, and Scholar up. Versus Turtenwald, Jensen, and Duke. Who do you guys think won?
I just know I don't want my last name to be Scholar up in that matchup.
Dude, that's what, major league managers are about to do soon. Scholar up! Go get that pitcher. Scholar up!
Okay, so the Scholar up did not win. It was clearly
Team Peach Garden Oath.
The one thing I will go over, because why the hell not... M15 Limited's top five cards for this tournament was Generator, Servant, Festergloom.
Is that the -1/-1 to non-black creatures?
Yeah. Man, I've let that pass so many times. Maybe that's a mistake. Rise the Alarm, Pillar of Light, and Hunt the Weak. Got it?
Good. Not necessarily the five best cards, just five cards they could highlight for good plays.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Hunt the Weak makes perfectly good sense to me. I've killed a lot of things with that. Pillar of Light's good. Raise the Alarm is, well, have you played the Convoke deck? Generator Servant does push things out really quickly.
Yeah.
And Fester Gloom, I mean, it does kill all the triplicate spirits, most Hornet Queen tokens. Yeah, I can see it.
Well, here's an interesting observation. So, I'll let you guys guess. So there are 137 creatures in the set, okay?
Mm-hmm.
How many of 137 have one toughness?
I'm going to say, are we counting spells that create creatures?
Because I had to just do a quick search, we're not going to count triplicate spirits and stuff like that.
No Raise the Alarm, no triplicate spirits, because that's a big deal.
Well, I mean, well, at least for the listeners, you can just imagine this number plus all those other cards.
I'm going to say 32.
It was out of 138, was that
yeah.
the total?
Yeah,
I'm
going to
say 58.
37, oh, which is a lot. That is a lot.
So 37 out of how many?
37 out of 137. So like
25%?
Roughly, yeah. So a quarter.
So let's see, 37, 0.37.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'll read off a couple of just
that's
notable
27% ones. Flat.
Yeah, so
that's
like,
over a quarter of the grouping has one toughness. That actually is a really good card, then.
Hushwing Griff, Oreska's Swiftclaw, Selfless Cathar, Soulmender, Chasm Skulker, well, when it comes into play, I guess.
You have to look at it that the bulk of your cards are also going to be commons, so you have to look at the percentage of commons that have one toughness, and that percentage probably goes up from 27 at that point.
Let's see. So, 17 commons. So Swift,
out of how many common creatures?
Let's see. 17 out of 56. Huge.
That's 30%.
Yeah.
Yep. Wow. Yep.
That's not a small number.
Typhoid Rats, Forge Devil, Foundry Street Denizen, the Generator Servants, those are two ones. Torch Fiends. Yeah, I mean, there's quite a bit there. I mean, the Bronze Sable, which is using to do some blocking work against cards like a Cursed Spirit or, was it Krenko's Enforcer or the Intimidate guy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, kills a lot of key creatures in the format. That's why, like.
Oh, Krenko's Enforcer is a 2/2.
Oh, is it a 2/2?
Right, but Bronze Sable.
Oh, the Bronze Sable blocks it, yeah.
Yes, blocks it very well.
Yeah, so like, when I first drafted the format, I thought, when I saw, was it a Forge Devil pop up, and I'm like, huh, like, how many one toughness creatures are there? And I kind of undervalued it initially. And then once I saw the first couple of events where there was a lot of X1s, I was like, yeah, I'm going to be picking this up a bit higher on my draft picks than before. Like, so that effect, surprisingly, is really, really good.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's better than I thought. Like, I knew it was good, but I didn't think it was 30% good.
Yeah.
That's kind of stupid.
Although, you know what awesome card in the set does not die to this sort of wrath effect?
My spiders.
Runeclaw Bear. Just putting it out there.
Bears are immune to Fester Gloom.
I have been drafting spiders left and right. Like, I do not let them get past me.
Yeah, those spiders are sick. The 2/3s that get that pump when they block a flyer.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Netcaster spider, yeah. I just don't let them pass me. I'm just like, I guess I'm in green because I open a spider.
I think green might be the strongest color outside of white for creatures in the set. Like, white has all the token producers, but green just has, like, raw power creatures as far as, like, cost to power toughness ratio.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like, very good for that.
That's green's niche, but, like, this set just really highlights it.
Mm-hmm. I know, like, I don't know how many times I've dropped a spider on turn 3 and I've just shut down a white player's whole plan.
Yeah.
They're like looking for their swift claw as bad as they can. And I'm just like, doesn't matter. I'm just going to play another spider. And that's a good feeling. It really is. But they were playing standard, I believe, over in Utrecht.
Where is that?
In Europe.
Google Foo.
Google Foo.
Let's see.
Like,
here.
It feels like a German city, but it's probably.
No, I don't think it's that. I think it's
Dutch.
Netherlands.
Yep. Ha ha, I nailed it.
Nice.
Deutsch. Actually,
okay, so we have Richard Webbles over Christopher Lawson, 2-0. We have, I added that for you, Celso.
Oh, thank you.
A little bit of Boston accent there, Lawson.
Hey, that was wicked awesome.
It was. Cyprian Katana versus Elliot Boussard, 2-0. Oliver Pollock Rotman, 2-0 over Alex Stock. Armel Primo versus Suzanne Bornalov, 2-1 Bornalov. Bornolo versus Pollock Rotman. Rotman wins 2-1. Elliot Boussard over Richard Webbles, 2-0. Elliot Boussard loses to Oliver Pollock Rotman, 2-0. So what was Rotman playing there? Anything worth talking about?
Well, it's gotta be Mono Black, right? Because Mono Black wins everything in standard?
No, it's the other boogeyman.
Sphinx's Revelation?
Okay, lesser boogeyman. He's playing mono blue.
It can't be mono blue. Everybody was hating on that deck.
Well, not everybody's smart.
That's
sometimes
true.
It's not bad.
Little blue guys get there.
Yeah, and I mean, there's really nothing. There's nothing new in this deck. Nothing.
Well, not so fast. If you see in the sideboard, there should be a rare an M15 that you're pretty excited to see.
Let's make frogs.
Yeah.
Out of the sideboard. One copy of it.
Hey, you're gonna attack with all those, pack rats? Sweet. Let's make them frogs.
They are now frogs.
That's sick. That's fun. That's a fun card.
Okay. So Born of Love was on mono black. Let's see, anything new in this deck? Nissa Worldwaker. What?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Well, if your swamp doesn't have an underworld connections on it, it's kind of useless. So let's make it a 4/4.
Yeah, let's play one forest.
Now, I don't.
It does have Abrupt Decay main, so, I mean, I'll give that to her.
Now, I don't play standard much these days, especially after the M15. But I've been following along pretty good, but is, like, the thing now, instead of the full set of underworld connections, cut one and add two Sign in Blood? Is that, like, standard issue these days?
Not that I know of. The one time I really, really, really wish Ryan was here.
Well, like, I've seen some deck lists there, like, cause I was, I picked up a good deal on Mutavaults, and I'm like, man, maybe I could play some standard, cause I have Mutavaults, and I looked at some mono black lists, and I saw this split, and I'm like, huh, I guess it's because, like, maybe too many underworld connections is, like, too costly or something, or, it's something for maybe the next episode. I'd love to hear what Ryan has to say on it when he gets back.
Yes, we have Webbles. He was on some blue-white Sphinx's Rev deck.
At least he has a...
It has win conditions.
Elspeth main, yeah. He can win without just making his opponent fall asleep.
But he had to go to 61 cards to do that.
Just point. He's like, out. Oh, I need to win. Let's tuck an Elspeth in there.
Yeah.
I like the one Font of Fortunes. That is very out of place in that list.
Yeah, I've seen it once before. I like it.
I like it too. Like, it's kind of a, okay, I've got 2 mana early, and then, oh, later on I need cards. I can spend it now to get the cards I need, so.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at this list, it's like, I kind of like Phlox's list, but I don't want to get off my detention spheres, because, like, you see the quick, like, two Quickens kind of pop up, and, like, the Azurius Charm count kind of went up to 3, probably from 2, I'm sure, before this person signed up for this 75. It's like, he's kind of, it's like putting his toe in the water. Like, maybe I'll go this direction.
He's also, he went the Faded Retribution route instead of the Planar Cleansing.
Yeah, I remember playing it in early standard and blowing up a lot of stuff on, like, green-red monsters when that was a pretty popular deck. Like, that was a really good hoser, because you got, like, the Dragon, the Pelucranos, but you also got, like, the Garrick and the Domri Raids and stuff like that.
Right.
Especially with Jund Walkers becoming a thing, like, Faded Retribution value goes up a little bit.
What? What was that word? Retribution.
Faded Retribution?
You said Retribution.
Oh, Retribution.
I'm like, is he diddling himself while he's on the cast?
Well, I was looking at that Runeclaw Bear before, and sorry, guys.
Yeah, that'll do that to you. So the next deck that we'll talk about is Katana's, and that is going to be Black-White Midrange. 3 Blood Baron, 3 Obsidat main board. Not fucking around.
So this is more of a black-white instead of black-splash-white like they were doing at the Pro Tour, the Pantheon team was.
Oh, no, this is straight-up black-white. I got 2 Elspeths. I mean, they do still have all the cards that mono-black would need, but...
Yeah, the big key that it's leaning harder on white is the multiple copies of Obsidat. Like, that's not a splash at that point.
No. Alex Stock, he's got him some young peasy going on. So Young Pyromancer, 4 Chandra's Phoenix, a bunch of instants to burn your face off, and 4 Chained to the Rocks.
Yep, including the new Stoke the Flames.
Yes.
3 copies of that.
That definitely does burn your face off.
I remember somebody saying that card was going to be good in standard. I wish I could recall who it was.
I don't remember.
Was it Marshall Sutcliffe?
It was on Pit Him, so I just don't remember who it was.
Oh, it had to have been me then.
No, I mean, just between, like, the Rabble Red lists and these Red White Burn, Stoke the Flames is getting its fair share of play.
It is. Absolutely is. I love seeing it with my deck because it doesn't kill half the stuff I have. Okay, we have Mono Blue in from Busad. Not worth talking about. Primo, he's got some, he's got Rabble Master Red going on here.
Rabble.
Wait, which person are we on?
Armel Primo.
Yeah, these decks aren't, like, anything worth really talking about, so just, like, moving fast.
Well, a super quick thing, though, with Brousseau, it looks like Mono Blue Devotion, but he does splash for Detention Sphere. No Afara, but he does have D-Sphere.
Okay.
And Reprisal, because who doesn't want to play a card where they're killing a Chinese New Year Dragon?
Okay.
Just saying.
Okay. The Rabble Red list, I don't know if we've gone over this. I think we did last week. Yeah, it was in the Pro Tour. This doesn't look to have any change.
So I've been playing this Rabble Red in Standard, but I made a change. I cut the Ash Zealots and the Titan Strength for 3 Frenzied Goblins just to up your Falter effects. And plus, it's also a Goblin for your Rabble Master. Actually, it works out pretty good. Like, Ash Zealot, I mean, it's the double red with the 3 Mutavaults can get awkward. So I was like, eh, it's another Goblin, another Falter type effect. It's a mana sink. So that was my change to it. But, I mean, this is a pretty standard list here.
The First Strike is nice on that, though.
Yeah, it is. But, like, most of the time, you're just running into Caryatids anyway, so.
True. Valid point. You have to pump it with Titan Strength to get there. And then Christopher Larson.
What a wicked pisser you are over there.
I was about to say, yeah. You got to get a little bit more nasal in there, and you'll start sounding like when Mike Myers used to do, like, the Jewish lady. Like, your Jewish lady and your Boston are kind of merging together there.
Yeah, you know what? When you have a voice like mine, doing a Boston accent is not easy.
And Robert Loggia wasn't exactly from Boston.
No. He was not.
But, step it up to the plate is no ma Garcia Para.
I thought it was Garcia Pa.
No ma, you're breaking my heart.
Busting your balls over here.
Go back to the con, no ma.
Go pack your con, Harvard Yard.
That's the Boston litmus test for your accent. Go pack the con, Harvard Yard.
Oh, Christ.
Freaking magic. Let's talk about Boston.
Yeah.
This is like the same list that we went over earlier with the polymorphous chest.
Man, you know what else you could find in the water? Chowder.
Chowder.
Crabs.
Nah, crabs is Baltimore.
No, lobster.
Lobster. Yeah,
lobster.
Yeah, crabs is a B-more thing, dude.
I feel
Baltimore boots. Oh.
Fassa.
Cloudfin raptor.
Let's do the rest of the cast in a Boston accent.
Oh, Christ. So are you guys Boston standard?
Are we bored of standard?
Yeah, like, it's gotten stale.
It's stale. I don't know if it's exactly boring, but definitely stale.
Yeah, at least it's not, like, oppressive, like, Cobblade standard.
It's not.
At least it's not one deck, yeah, exactly. You have 6 or 7 decks that just don't change, but...
Or Delver, even. Delver standard is pretty awful, too.
Yeah. It's just more along the lines of, like, I don't like it when a new set comes out and you don't see any change.
Yeah, especially with the summer core set, because, like, that's your largest standard, and usually you get a whole bunch of decks popping up out of the woodworks.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, this core set didn't do much in that regard. But, I mean, I guess you can't win everything, you know? Good limited set, at least.
Yeah, I think so, too, but I have heard some people complain about it. And this is why me and Jeebs argue all the time.
I thought it was just because it's Jeebs.
Well, there's that too, but I mean, like, he's like, this is the worst format I've ever fucking played. I'm like, you're an idiot. I love this.
Has he ever done Mercadian Masks Limited? Because that might be the worst format I've ever played.
I actually like Masks.
You're a glutton for punishment.
No, it's just such a skill tester for new players because they don't understand that 2/4s are good.
Yeah, there was like a, what was it, Joval Queen was like a 3/7 with Vigilance or something. That card was just a house.
Yeah, just ended games.
Because the only instant speed removal was Vendetta, and you have to take 7 damage to Vendetta.
Mm-hmm.
That was my glory days back then.
I just like the fact that I could play like a strong control deck in Limited, just soak up all the brainstorms I can and just play control and beat people with a 2/4. Just laughs. Like,
Soothsaying was like bomb uncommon.
Yeah, I made a Broderick like rage quit. We were at, Will had bought some Masks block and we did a draft at his house for it. And like, I just played blue black control. And he rage quit because he lost to a 2/4. He's like, I have no fucking way to kill a goddamn 2/4. This fucking format sucks. I'm like,
Yeah, the trick to Masks block, especially like Masks with Nemesis, is if you open Lin Sivi, you won the draft. But, other than that, you know, it was like blue black was really strong or like big dumb green guys. Like that was all you played.
Yeah. Big dumb green is good too because you can get those 4/4s out and it's like, it's oppressive to try to beat them.
Yeah. And then like, but the rares in there were like so underpowered compared to now. Like bomb rare, there was like 1 in the set. So.
Oh, that's the way it should be. The good old days. Love the good old days. So they were playing standard up in, Syracuse too. That's over at SCG and, Jared Betcher. Yeah! He went in as the number 1 seed. This is one of those moments where I'm glad Ryan's not here. Versus John Imp. Damn, I wish the Imp would win. There's other letters behind it, but it's Imp. Jared Betcher wins 2-1. Bryant Cook versus Adam Bruce. Bruce 2-0. Stogsdill versus Ingrish. English? There's a new accent. English. And rockery. Englishman's
too unbelievable.
And Tariq Patel over Mr. Morgan 2-0, Eric English over Patel 2-1, Jared Betcher over Mr. Bruce 2-0, and Jared Betcher wins this sumbitch.
So that's why Ryan's not here. He didn't want to see the Pokemon hat on the picture.
Probably. That would be my guess.
And Betcher's on fire this year. That's all I know.
He is. I mean, look. I've tried to explain it to him a million times. I have no problem with people wanting to dress the way they want to fucking dress. The dude is playing fucking top-notch Magic. That's all I care about. Hey, he's
innovating
cat.
A little bit, too. A
little bit. My cat decided to show up. Yeah, he's running black-blue devotion. Not what he's been running. He's been running black-red. This time he splashed blue.
For like two cards.
That's
in
okay.
The sideboard.
But that's okay. Notion Thief is good.
Oh, yeah. Actually, it seemed like, from what I heard, because I didn't see it in action, the negates were a fairly positive addition for the deck. So, like, I guess if you want to splash a second color without really going, like, balls deep into it, like red or white or green.
Yeah.
You know, blue's not a terrible choice.
No.
Plus, it makes the Night Veil Spectres easier to cast.
It do that. Do.
And you're welcome, Posse, for allowing me to share that beautiful picture of coverage with that hat.
Yeah.
On the fan page.
Oh, yeah, thank you so much. We had from Eric English, Rabble Red, Adam Bruce, Rabble Red. We had some green-white aggro in fourth, blue-white control in fifth and sixth, respectively. Another blue-white aggro in seventh, and mono-white aggro in eighth. Okay, this is worth looking at.
It looks fairly mono-white.
It does. It does.
To launch the fleet? This is
interesting. Wait. This is different. Four Boros Reckoner, four Dryad Militant, two Imposing Sovereign, four Judges Familiar, two Keening Apparition, four Loyal fucking Pegasus. That'd be Pegasi at that point. Okay. Four Precinct Captain, four Soldier of the Pantheon, two Spirit of the Labyrinth, 17 Planes, four Mutavault. He got four Brave, three Spear, and two Launch the Fleet. I like this.
This is actually really cool.
Dude, he has two Perilous Vault in his sideboard.
Wow, that's...
that's going deep.
I guess that's for, like, the Jun Walkers matchup or something, like, to just get all those stupid things out of the way. Just boom, clear
yeah,
it off.
There's better answers.
Yeah, I think.
I mean,
or for Mono Black, possibly, too, because, like, clearing out those, like, Pack Rats plus Connections plus Demons kind of a pain in the nuts, too.
Is it just me, or does three Spears seem a little excessive? Wouldn't you want to, like, cut to two and play, like, a Hall of Triumph or something so that you could possibly get the double pump?
I agree.
Or I'd like two of each.
Two of each, yeah. Like, it just,
your
like,
chances.
Three Spear just seems like you're asking to draw two of them.
Yeah, I mean, I guess those types of things happen. But, like, with White Weenie decks, you want to get as many Anthems as possible. It's just awkward that we don't have, like, Honor of the Pure. We have this card instead.
You said
even Glorious Anthem.
Yeah, even Glorious Anthem would have been fine, too, because even Mutavault would be a 3-3.
You still said Weenie.
Hey, white weenie till I die.
You ain't got a choice on that. Four Fiendslayer Paladin, three Banishing Light, three Celestial Flare, and three Rootborn Defenses. That tops off the sideboard. That's a different deck. I like this.
I definitely like the take on it there.
It looks like it cost all about $10 to put together, short of the four Mutavaults.
Yeah, and even those have calmed down enough. Like, I mean,
not online. They're fucking still $20.
Ugh. Well, I think if you could find them in like the 15-ish range, maybe plus or minus a buck or two, I think it's fine. Because I don't see this card becoming like a $5 rare post rotation. No, because it's,
what's it going to play for in Modern? Because it didn't play in any of the Modern decks before. Why is it all of a sudden going to be playing in Modern?
Well, it's always been in Fish. Like. And that's both modern.
One deck that is like Fringe. We're at 1.5.
And Meat Hooks.
You also have to look at it that Mutavault was so long ago that a lot of people that got into Modern didn't even know how it played. Now that they've played it in Standard, it's going to, you know, be fresh in their minds, so people are going to try and include it in things more. So it could also maintain a price memory because of that as well.
Yeah, well, and also two key things, too. Like, first, it's a land, and, like, lands just typically, unless, like, they're really crappy dual lands, you know, they're going to keep some value. And then, two, it's tribal. There's tons of people out there that just love tribal, you know?
I can see it. Sitting there about $8.
You know what Mutavault is? It's a bear.
That's right, damn it.
It is, in fact, a bear. It's also a fairy. It's also an Augre. It's also human.
It's the only troll bear in Magic other than John Celso.
That's right.
Good call, sir. Good call.
It's a kobold, a pretty powerful kobold.
It is a kobold. It is a very strong cobalt. That's no zero one we're fucking with there. That's a real goddamn cobalt.
It's an oof.
Is it oof? Yes. It's a noggle.
It's a noggle.
So,
is Aladdin still a creature type, or did they change that one? Because it could be an Aladdin.
He became human.
Oh.
They errated that a couple years ago.
It's a pirate. It's a 2-2 pirate.
I think the pirates became humans, too.
They still were pirates.
No, they errated a lot of shit a few years ago. I want to say when it went to M10?
It's the only standard legal squirrel.
Yeah, when it went to Magic 10, not 10th edition. Yeah, that they made a bunch of fucking changes, and yeah.
Mm. I'm going to look it up, because
You do that, sir. You fucking
Commander
do that.
Afterwards.
While you're doing that, I'm going to go into Legacy, where Sam Rokos played against Alex Johnson in 1-2-0, and John Wiley against Theodore Jung. Wiley wins 2-0. Jared Betcher, god damn, he's everywhere, versus Andrew Tengem. That was probably a good match. Betcher wins 2-0. Cal Thompson versus Dan Jordan. Cal Thompson 2-1. Cal Thompson takes down Jared Betcher 2-1. Sam Rokos over Mr. Wiley 2-1. That dude needs to be a professor. I'm sorry. And Sam Rokos beats Kyle Thompson 2-0 with deck lists.
Man, I see a lot of that D word floating around.
Yeah, I see countertop and then Delver, 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 Delver.
Yep. I wish we were joking, but no. And it's all the flavors of Delver outside of blue-red.
Yeah, we have countertop, rug Delver, blue-white-red Delver, bug Delver, blue-white-red Delver, blue-white-red Delver, shardless bug, hey! And a burn deck.
The burn deck down at the bottom, make sure that it isn't blue in every top 8 deck.
There's nothing wrong with blue being in every top 8 deck, just saying.
Ha! Pirate is a subtype.
Is it?
Oh, man, Unimalt's a Feldegriff, too.
It is. It is, in fact, a Feldegriff. Wow, this episode's so off the tracks.
Do you want to talk about Delver, or do you want to talk about sub-creature types?
You know what? At this point, honestly, I'd probably talk about sub-creature types.
It's also a spell shaper.
A Nephilim.
Ooh, Nephilims. Good pull. Good pull.
It's an Eldrazi, too.
The weakest Eldrazi ever.
You can't sack him to make mana, but you can tap him.
But it's stronger than the Eldrazi spawn.
He is.
It's a kick-ass goat for a 2-2, but it's a destructible god.
It's also an incarnation Hydra goat. I mean...
It's also a mosquito, just saying.
Oh, man, I remember mosquitoes.
Or a Slith Scout Shaman.
It's an Uncle Isvan.
Is it still in that list?
I don't know, but I know it used to be creature Uncle Isvan.
It's a unicorn, too. Uncle Isvan. I think he turned into a zombie. No, he's a human. He got errated.
Damn.
Even the time-shifted one even shows.
Mutavault is still a Scarecrow Samurai, too.
Now we're combining subtypes.
That makes it even better to think about.
Hey, Celso, you know a little bit about this format. Robert Pompa, I wonder if he's related to Gene. That dude's an awesome comedian, I'm just saying.
That's true.
Versus Michael Blum, he's also a drunk. You know what he does? Like, just a tip for you guys out there. What he does is, like, he doesn't drive, he walks everywhere he goes. And he goes to Starbucks, he gets one of their glasses, dumps all the coffee up, fills that sumbitch up with wine.
That is true.
And he lives life. So Gene Pompa's illegitimate son wins 2-1. Ryan Hare versus John Bustos. Hare wins 2-1. Gary P. something or other wins versus David A. something or other.
Palazic versus Ashbacher?
Sure. Ryan Dunn versus Brian Seep. Dunn wins 2-1. Gary P. something or other versus Ryan Hare. I've just skipped all kinds. Ryan Hare wins the thing. 2-1. This is the modern IQ whatever thingy. So we have junk mid-range, Mirapod Affinity, Dredgevine, black-green mid-range, junk mid-range, and blue-white Gifts. Celso, which one of these do I want to look at first? I'm thinking junk mid-range.
I think Gifstron. Well, I mean, junk mid-range is just like another variant of the black-green decks that have been floating around.
Okay.
Like Tarmogoyf, Liliana, Bob.
Okay, so this is like the Jun list with Path instead of Lightning Bolt. And
Lingering Souls, too, so you can attack across versus vertically with like Tarmogoyf. But the Blue White Gifts Tron list, that was like a moto list that I kind of went, is this going to exist in the paper metagame? And at least for this week, it kind of showed up because like Blue White Tron was a thing, but Blue White Tron with gifts was only an online thing. Should I
read
the deck list off?
Yes, do this.
So there's only five creatures because we're going to play Gifts Ungiven.
And these five are all you need.
Yep. We got a Wyrmcoil, we got a Snapcaster, we have an Elesh Norn, we have an Emrakul, and we have an Iona. Iona, because I'm sure there might be listeners that have no idea what an Iona does. 7/7 for 9, that flies, legendary. When it enters, you choose a color, your opponents can't cast spells of the chosen color, which is fantastic. So, why we have five creatures in the deck, you may ask. We have Gifts Ungiven, an instant from Kamigawa block, which was actually its own deck, if I remember, in Standard, right? Mm-hmm. Or Extended, or both?
Both, yes.
Yep. And, like, it's a powerful card, so much so that I believe it's still restricted in Vintage.
This actually became a Christmas card, too. It was Gifts Given.
That's right. So, for 4 mana, 3U, instant, search your library for up to 4 cards with different names and reveal them. Target opponent chooses 2 of those cards. Put the chosen cards into your graveyard and the rest into your hand and shuffle your library. So you go, turn 2, play an Azorius Signet, so you can ramp it to 4 mana on turn 3.
Hey, Celso.
Yes, sir.
Your default is also a Praetor.
I know. A crummy Praetor, but a Praetor nonetheless.
The colorless Praetor.
So what's Gifts do?
So you go end of turn, cast Gifts Ungiven. You go, let's see. I got one of these bombs and a barrel rights. And you know what? Oh, stupid me. I can't find 2 more cards. Oh, you got to choose 2 cards and put it in the graveyard. Okay, untap, flashback on barrel rights with play my 5th land, play on barrel rights, targeting the bomb that you just tutored for and comes right into play. Before you actually, I think, had the search for 4 cards, but it's kind of cool because you're not strictly just doing that all the time either. Like, let's just say you're playing against Zoo, right? Well, Angela, what happens if I tutor for a Day of Judgment, Supreme Verdict, and Wrath of God, and I go, hey, you, put 2 cards, put them in the graveyard.
And a Snapcaster Mage. Don't forget Snapcaster.
Oh, yeah, for value. Let's add the Snapcaster Mage.
I just go, I'm going to get rid of the Supreme Verdict, and I'm going to get rid of the Snapcaster Mage, and then I'm going to try and counter the other spells because I play blue.
So yeah, basically you're gonna cast gifts to get things that you want. And just a quick aside, because I learned this today actually while listening to Drive to Work. Do you know why this card was printed in the first place?
Anybody? To try to find a fair intuition.
Right, because Marrow accidentally did not put down search for 3 cards with different names, and Development said, this card's perfectly fine. And Marrow's like, no, you're supposed to say different names, and Development said no, and eventually Intuition is the card that it is now. So when Kamigawa Block came around, he's like, you know what? We're gonna fix that up right now.
And yeah, that didn't work.
Yeah, and then they made the green version with lands in Rise of the Eldrazi charters on Realms Uncharted. Yeah.
That was fair.
Yeah.
That actually wasn't bad at all.
So Gifts is a really cool archetype just because, like, you know, it's not just strictly from barrel rights. I mean, I remember people gifting for Loam and, like, a land and stuff like that. Or, like, actually, I think, isn't there a package where you can go get, whatchamacallit, Academy Ruins? There should be an Academy Ruins.
Yeah, it's Loam, Academy Ruins. Oh, you're talking in this here.
Oh, it's not in this particular list, but, like, yeah, that's the like this. Gifts. Yeah, I mean, you can go get Academy Ruins, your target, and Life from the Loam, and you're guaranteed to eventually get that bomb artifact that you cheated for back on top of your library. So this is kind of like a control deck, which has a combo of Gifts Ungiven. I mean, there's other cool things. So, like, there's, a Batterskull, Expedition Map to go get your Tron lands, Banishing Light, Detention Sphere. So also, like, Spot Removal, you can build the gift package. Condescend, Path to Exile, Remand, a Sphinx's Revelation. Oh, my God. That spell is amazing in Modern. Just saying. I mice it in my Modern deck, and I never regretted ever casting one. 4 Thirst for Knowledge, because you got all these Signets and garbage you can just discard, so you can get, basically 2 cards off of 3 mana, you're netting. Day of Judgment. Speed, yeah. Yep, at instant speed. Day of Judgment, Supreme Verdict, Wrath of God, and Burial Rites. And the board, typical sideboard, I mean, Hushwing Griff for pod, Leyline of Sanctity for discard decks, Disenchant, probably to blow up Blood Moon, and just inherently is good against Affinity. 3 Last Breath, because I'm sure there's some annoying creatures you want to get rid of. Probably, like, I'm guessing Spellskite, but I'm just shooting from the hip here. 1 Negate, which also can you build your counter magic package, and three timely reinforcements because burn is a pain in the balls. And your lands are basically your Tron lands with blue-white stuff like Seacrem Coast and Hallowed Fountain, and you still want to tutor for like Kaza Koilos and stuff to if you want to cast Barrel Rites from your hand. And this is one of the decks that like actually the Tron lands work pretty well with Celestial Kalanon. So there's two of those. Awesome. I mean, it's one of those decks that I've seen I wanted to mess around with, but cool stuff.
Dude, 12th place infect list is not the infect list you're used to seeing.
Yes. Shoot for it.
It's four Itcherclaw Mirror. Yeah, I said Itcherclaw Mirror. That's the one where if it gets blocked, it gets +2/+2. Mm-hmm. Four Glistener Elf. 12 Forest, 3 Cathedral of War, 4 Ink Moth Nexus, 2 Pendlehaven.
So this is mono green.
Yeah. 2 Rancor, 4 Apostles Blessing, you just used the Phyrexian mana there. 2 Dismember, again, Phyrexian mana. 4 Giant Growth, 4 Groundswell, 2 Might of Old Crozia, 4 Mutagenic Growth, 1 Ranger's Guile, 4 Vines of the Vastwood, 4 Sylvan Scrying, sideboard, 3 Spellskite, 1 Rancor, 2 Wild Defiance, 2 Dismember, 1 Guttural Response. Guttural Response!
Screw you, Blue.
2 Nature's Claim, 1 Ranger's Guile, and a Sajiri Step.
I have a question for Mr. Celso here, since you are also a modern player. Is there a reason these Infect decks don't run Avoid Fate?
Avoid Fate? I actually have to look that one up. I feel like I might have seen it in some point in time.
It was time-shifted. It was originally in, like, Legends, and it's one... Yeah, go ahead.
Counter-target instant or aura spell that targets a permanent you control. All right.
One green.
So, I mean, to me, when I see this, it looks like it's, do I dare say, strictly worse than Apostle's Blessing? Because you could just give protection, and, like, I mean, it could be, like, a sorcery spell to try to kill it and stuff like that.
Right. And Ranger's Guile gives you +1/+1 and basically does the same thing.
Right, but in, like, these, when you're running up against, like, Jund decks or the junk decks, they run so much removal. It's like your 5 counter spells for your 8 creatures doesn't seem... You know, yeah, like, well, it's just kind of like a sideboard option.
Well, the Jund removal is kind of interesting because, like, there's certain removal spells that won't get certain cards. Like, for instance, Abrupt Decay can't get their Ink Moth Nexus, whatever, and stuff like that. So, like, I think your game plan post-board is just to, and also your Vines of the Vastwood is, like, another protection spell.
That's true. I forgot about Vines as well.
Yeah, so, like, you can use it defensively to just protect your guy, or, like, a lot of the removal is Lightning Bolt, too, so, like, you might as well just have pump spells to beat that up too.
Right.
Skipping over the fact he has 3 Cathedral of War in here?
Well, it's a nod to the old standard deck that was running around before Scars Block rotated out.
Insane, man. Like, I'm going to attack with one thing a turn. It's going to have Exalted 3 fucking times, and you're going to have to deal with a 4/4 Wither basically if you have a blocker.
Yeah, well, like, it's standard. People are doing things like turn 1 Glistener Elf, right? Turn 2 Rancor, play Cathedral of War, attack you for 5. Deal with this.
Yeah, you have 2 turns.
Yeah, so like the mono green version is actually kind of popular on Modo just because it doesn't play Noble Hierarch. From what I've heard, I'm just basing off what I've heard, it's a little bit weaker than the blue green infect list because you lose cards Blighted Agent. You lose Distortion Strike. You also lose the mana ramp too, but like who's to say you can't play Birds of Paradise too, you know, because sometimes it is kind of important to have, fast mana to get your guys on the board and all your pump spells that you want to get out of your hand quickly. Granted, still, like, Noble Hierarch pumps your guy, too. So, I guess if you want to get into Modern Online and you don't want to jam a ton of money, Burn and Mono Green Infect are 2 reasonable choices to get started, for sure.
What about real life? Because, you know, next year I actually have to play Modern because they decided to make GP Pittsburgh fucking Modern.
I think IRL, I'm pretty sure you can get away with Infect as well, and even maybe a budget version of Infect should, like a blue-green non-hierarch version should still be fine as well. I know blue-red Delver's kind of starting to pop up in the paper metagame. It's been strictly an online call for a while, so Delver's playable in the format as well. Although, I'm kind of interested, I kind of think Bug Delver might be the best version, but that's, you know, time will tell.
It doesn't matter, I'm just going to bar 4 voice off you and
me
Pox.
Yeah, I wish. I if you want something Pox, like I can give you a Loam Reanimator, which has like elements of Pox.
No, I do like a Tarmogoyf type thing if I get my hands on 4 Tarmogoyf, because I know I have everything else.
Nice. So yeah, I think those are fine choices in paper too. Burn is surprisingly very, very good and very undervalued by the metagame. I mean, it's fast.
Sweet.
Especially when you have Shocklands as your mana. Yeah.
Yeah, that helps. That helps a lot. Wow, we got through that a hell of a lot quicker than I expected.
Well, can I back up back to Legacy? Because there was a sweet deck that we both missed that was in ninth place.
No, it was a loser deck.
But it got so close. I hope in the archives this was on camera. Probably. This deck is silly. So,
what are you talking about?
Well, wait. Tell me if you didn't see the list yet, because I think this is a fun game. Okay, so I'm gonna rattle off some cards, and I'm pretty sure you'll figure out what deck it might be, but I'm pretty sure there's going to be some cards that are going to come up that are going to make you scratch your head. Ready?
Yep.
Ancient Tomb.
Okay.
City of Traders.
So things.
Yep, City of Traders.
Okay.
Emrakul. Grizzlebrand.
Okay, now it sounds like Sneak and Show.
Sneak Attack. Blood Moon. Main Deck. Chalice of the Void.
Huh?
Through the Breach.
Is this like a fucking mono?
Oh, it gets better. Wait. Seething Song. Simeon Spirit Guide, so we got some fast mana, right? Pyromancy.
Dude, it's a red fucking Sneak Attack deck.
Yeah! Pyromancy.
That gave it away.
Was it Urza's?
Inferno Titan.
Yeah! Was it Urza's Legacy?
Where's this World Sunpine Worm? Well, yeah, I guess you could sneak that in.
Oh, yeah. Oh, here's a 15-15 Trampler. Oh, I got a sack at end of turn? Darn. I get 3 5/5s.
Yeah.
What a bummer.
And you can shuffle back in, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It does. So you can sneak it out again. This is insane. 15 creatures, 2 Inferno Titan, 4 Seeming Spirit God, a World Spied Worm, 4 Emrakul, 4 Grizzlebrand.
Is this a Mercadian Mask card that isn't Brainstorm in Legacy? The good old Sandstone Needle?
Yeah, Popper Storm All-Star Sandstone Needle.
What the fuck?
I mean, when 8 soul lands wasn't enough, let's add 3 more to that list.
This is so weird. Land base is 6 Mountain, 4 Ancient Tomb, an Arid Mesa, 4 City of Tracers, Scalding Tarn, a Wooded Foothills, and 3 Sandstone Needles. For those of you who never played back in the day, it comes into play tapped with 2 depletion counters on it. You can remove a depletion counter to add 2 red mana to your mana pool. If there are no depletion counters on the needle, it dies.
Yeah, so it was a common, so that's why Storm was insane, because you got fast mana off of it. Yeah, like, I think there were games where you can get, like, a crapload of Empty the Warrens tokens on turn 2, simply with a Sandstone Needle. It was silly.
Let's see, spells, 25, 4 Chalice, 3 Lotus Petal, 4 Blood Moon, 2 Pyromancy. Fucking Pyromancy. That is so ignorant with 4 Emrakuls.
And a World Spine Worm, mind you.
That is just...
Grizzlebrand is 8 damage.
Yeah, but we have 5 targets, that is 15.
Mike, why don't you read off what the card does?
Pyromancy is an enchantment, a rare enchantment from Urza's Legacy. It costs 2 red. You can pay 3 and discard a card at random, and Pyromancy deals damage to target creature or player equal to the total casting cost of the discarded card.
Or imagine this. This, I think, would be super hysterical, right? Let's just suppose your opponent's playing Sneak and Show. They play Show and Tell, right? And you have 3 mana open. You lay down the Pyromancy. They lay down their Emrakul. End of turn, you activate the Pyromancy and kill the Emrakul.
With your Emrakul.
That's absurd. So the rest of the deck, 4 Sneak Attack, 4 Seething Song, 4 Through to Breach, Sideboard, 3 Defense Grid, 4 Tormod's Crypt, 2 Spinosphere, 3 Sulfur Elemental, 3 Pyroclasm. This deck's wrong.
Or, like, imagine this opener, right? Turn 1, like, Scalding Tarn, and your opponent can, like, guess that you're on, like, a ton of different things, right? So then you untap, you fetch for a mountain, play your Ancient Tomb, cast a Seething Song through the Breach Emrakul on turn 2. Like, boom, take 15.
Well, like, I can reasonably see, like, a turn 1. I mean, it's not too reasonable, but it's reasonable enough. A turn 1, Pyromancy.
Yeah, or turn 1 Blood Moon. Like, or turn 1 Blood Moon. To that? Yeah.
And then you can just, like, chuck your hand at them and just, they're dead. Because, yeah. I mean, the Spirit Guides, the Lotus Petal, I mean, you can empty your hand quick, so the only thing left in your hand is, like, 2 Emeralds.
Yeah, I mean, granted, I'm nowhere near having enough cards for, Sneak and Show, but, like, this is the kind of deck where I can, like, start here and then eventually go there if I want to, you know? Like, Sneak Attack's an expensive card, and, like, I mean, I have the Grizzlebrands, right? And I have some Emrakuls, like, not too, I mean, in the realm of Legacy, it's not super expensive deck.
No, not at all. This is fucking wrong.
So is Eric. Well, probably because it says there's defense grid. Things that say, like, screw you counterspells.
Grixis Delver in 13th.
Is it the Spy Kids or is it a different version of it? Let's see. There's a PZ, Young Pyromancer, and there's a Deathrite. So it's like the four-color Delver. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the Spy Kids without Edric. Although...
Yeah, but it has Fire Covenant.
Yeah.
Yes, I said Fire Covenant.
Not Fire and Ice, but Fire and Ice is there too. Fire Covenant, Ice Age All-Star.
What the fuck?
Should I read this bad boy off?
Nobody knows what it does, but maybe me and you.
So for a whopping 50 cents retail at StarCityGames.com, you can own a copy of this. One black-red instant. As an additional cost to cast Fire Covenant, pay X life. Fire Covenant deals X damage divided as you choose among any number of target creatures. Dan Frazier did the art. Pretty neat.
And effects that prevent or redirect the damage cannot be used against this.
Oh, yeah. It kind of lost the life.
Yeah, back in the day, it actually wasn't so bad when the stacking rule was different.
Ah.
Kind of like, you know, the channel fireball type deal.
Yeah. This is sick. I guess, like, there's just giant idiots that you want to kill. Like, one black-red can, I guess, still kill a Tarmogoyf.
Yes.
Or Delver. Well,
you can kill an Emrakul.
What? Oh, wait. Any number of target creatures. So, yeah, you can, like, wipe the board for a few life.
Yeah.
Wow.
Fucking Fire Covenant.
Yeah, like, imagine you're playing Bug Delver or something, and you've got, like, Delver, it's flipped, Deathrite Shaman, and, like, a 3-4 Goyf. It's like, all right, I'm going to lose a lot of life in this process, but it's like, I killed three of your threats. 3-for-1.
Jesus Christ. I don't know, man.
One in the board, too, right? Yeah, that's one in the board.
Some of these decks. I love the little one-card tweaks that people put on decks to just make you go, what? But Legacy, you can pull that shit off. Like, love every time I see a Chains of Metastopheles.
Oh, man.
I just love it. Part of me just giggles with fucking excitement.
Yeah, or in Modern, like, Fiery Justice is such a hoser card. Like, the fun of.
Mm-hmm.
Deal 5 damage, and I think your opponent gains 5 life or something, but, like, basically you blow out a whole bunch of mana dorks for 3 mana.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on, please.
Yeah, nothing else fun. I mean, yeah. Brian Cook's been creeping up the standings. I don't know if you noticed, but, like,
yeah.
he's been getting hot.
Feline's back in there with her high tide.
Yep, as usual.
As usual. So, people, you've bitched loud enough that they made changes. Modern will now be a Pro Tour thing. At Pro Tour Washington, D.C. on February 6th and 8th, it will be Modern constructed with booster draft as the tournament formats. So they changed it from standard to that. And a GP Vancouver is being changed from limited to Modern. No, bad.
Hey, something had to go.
Should have made it a standard, it went.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad they didn't touch Legacy, because it's not like we had any Legacy GPs to start with.
Yeah, what is up with that? We didn't get any this year.
This year? New Jersey.
Well, I'm saying this next coming year, 2015. Did we get any?
I think there's one.
Three?
It's always like one North America and one Europe, usually. It's
fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. I'll take it over nothing.
I suppose.
As much as I hate it.
Yeah. Another announcement was made in this past week. From the Vault of Annihilation, we know all the cards now, and they're probably not worth the money.
Yeah, I was sad they didn't reprint Damnation.
Yeah, we have a Living Death, we have a Balance. That card's worth it.
That's true.
We have Armageddon, again. We have Wildfire, which is like a 20-cent fucking rare from 9th edition.
Was it Saga originally, or no?
Yeah, I don't remember, honestly. We have Upheaval.
Cube All-Star.
Yeah, we have Wrath of God. That makes sense, even though, you know, we have
a new art.
Yeah. Yeah. We have Cloud Thresher, because that makes perfectly good sense, because it killed all the fairies. All of them.
Did we get Cloud Thresher?
We got Cloud Thresher. Cloud Thresher is a 7/7 for 6 that you can evoke out for 4. And when it comes into play, it deals 2 damage to each creature with flying and each player. And it has flash. So I guess that's good. I can remember playing the hell out of it, but meh. Pyroclasm! Yeah! Because that's what I wanted from the vault. Akroma's Vengeance. Consume the Meek, Slagstorm, Supreme Verdict. I'm kind of underwhelmed by this.
Hmm.
I mean, there's a couple really big cards in here, but some of them are kind of silly. Like,
there's balance.
You know, I'm...
That's it, balance.
I think in all honesty, I think we're looking at the wrong article.
Yeah, this isn't the right thing.
Yeah, this was just a look back at all the different wrafts. I'm going to throw this the announcement in the chat.
Oh, okay. Well, ignore everything that I just said. apparently, that's not it.
Well, some of them are correct. Why don't I go through the list real quick? So Armageddon is there with new art, which is kind of neat.
Sweet.
A reprint of poor old Three Kingdoms fun card, Burning of Jinye, which is basically Wildfire, except you target an opponent, because I think Wildfire was everybody, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it was sacrifice, not target.
Yep. So I guess in 1v1 it doesn't matter, but like, I guess if you want to screw somebody over in multiplayer commander, then you have Burning of Jinye. Cataclysm, recently banned 1v1 commander card, where each player chooses from all their permanents and artifact, creature, enchantment, land, and sacrifices all the rest. Actually, I play that in Kemba. Kind of a fun, but not fun. Fun for me, not fun for everybody else. Child of Alara. Everybody's favorite 6/6 for 5 mana trampling avatar, which Mutavault is also an avatar. When it dies, destroy all non-land permanents. They can't be regenerated. Everybody's favorite Red Griefer card in Commander, Decree of Annihilation. The 10 mana exile all artifacts, creatures, and lands from the battlefield. All cards from all graveyards and all cards from all hands. Like, gross. Or if you just want to, like, Armageddon and draw a card, you could pay 5 red at instant speed. Firespout, which is seen in Red Green Tron and Modern.
Yep.
You can basically, like, 3 damage to flyers or non-flyers or both. Fracturing Gust, another sideboard Modern card. Blow up artifacts and enchantments, but you gain 2 life for everyone that you blow up, which is important if you're a defensive deck.
Living this thing costs like 50 cents.
Yeah. Living Death, which actually has some pretty sick art, guys. Like, you know, the good old let's go flip the battlefield creatures and the graveyard creatures. I mean, that's kind of a neat... I mean, at least they're doing different ways of wrathing.
Yeah, let's give you Living Death instead of Damnation, because that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I bet you the cop-out is, well, we gave you Wrath of God. We don't want to be redundant, but I think
it's... Yeah, let's give them Wrath of God for the 700th time. And, like, not give them Damnation. Okay, yeah, it makes sense. What's the rest of the cards?
We got a Martial Coup, which you place tokens on the battlefield, but if you pay a ton, you blow up everything else. Rolling Earthquake, which is another Portal 3 Kingdoms reprint. Because, you know, you want to deal X damage to each creature without horsemanship in each player. Smokestack.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
I do awesome like some stacks. Card.
And that art's pretty sick, too. That's a new art, I think, too.
Yes, on it
that.
Is.
Terminus, you know, the Miracles All-Star card, Upheaval, and, Virtue's Ruin, another, I think it's Portal or Portal 3 Kingdoms, one of
that
the
was
two.
The first Portal, I think.
Oh, yeah, first Portal. Destroy all white creatures for 3 mana. And you know what's interesting about this? I've heard, I don't know where this is gonna be relevant, but because it's in an FTV, its rarity is mythic, and I heard some people, like a tiny percentage of the internet people, complaining because this is now introduced into Legacy and Vintage, and you can only get this at Mythic. So it might be quite a few tickets to get a copy of this. That's just what I heard secondhand.
Or you can just buy it.
Yeah.
Buy the whole set, and there you go.
Well, that's what the whole
online,
set might be
on
that.
Online, it's not hard. It's not like real life. You can buy 4 of these, no problems. Remember when From the Vault 20th came out?
Yep.
You could get them online forever.
Yeah. So, and then Wrath of God with actually pretty nice art. It's not bad at all.
I'm just not impressed by this. I like Stax, the deck. it's cool that Stax got reprinted, but...
A deck that says no Angela likes? What are you talking about?
You know, it's a shame that, like, New Legacy just does not allow for Stax anymore.
Yeah. Like, once in a while, you see somebody up with, like, mono-white stacks or something like that.
Yeah, or they throw stacks in their lands deck.
Yeah, or Tezzeret stacks once in a blue moon. Because, I mean, what's more fun than smokestack saying no, like a 5-5 smokestack?
I'm going to kill you with my smokestack, what? Yep.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to buy this, but, I mean, I might get, like, a couple of these for various things. Like, I don't mind having the Cataclysm in my EDH deck, and, like, the Wrath of God maybe is my my Miser sideboard card in Modern. Yeah, maybe.
Fuck this. This thing's garbage.
Fair enough. So.
This might actually go at retail.
Yeah. Is it arguably maybe the worst FTV? I mean, there's some pretty bad ones, but even those had some, like, key cards. Like, I mean, Realms Dragons had Grove.
Was terrible, but it was, like, one of the new ones, so. It was, like, the first one, so everyone jumped on it.
I mean, Nicol Bolas is still stupid expensive from that FTV, too.
Yeah.
And, like, that had some cool art.
You know what, though? How does the cool art make it play any differently?
Hey, I mean, some people are willing to pay the dollars to pimpify their decks.
Oh, I know, man. I see people paying for them San Diego Comic-Con cards, and I just shake my head and go, there ain't no way in hell.
Yeah, tell me about
it. If I own something like that, legitimately, I'd never play with them. Like, they would just be in, like, a case on my wall.
Right.
Like, that is a collector's item. And I just, I don't know. I'm not into foils. I'm not into alternate arts. I don't care. I just want the card. I want to be able to beat your face with it and do it as cheaply as possible because I'm cheap.
Yeah. Oh, should we hold up for Mike?
Did he leave again?
Oh, I think he left. I thought he was still on the call.
Darn.
To do shout outs and stuff.
Darn. Well, Mike's gone. You'll have that, I guess.
Yeah. We might go from here.
Well, we might as well go to the next subject, which is, the Community Cup Wizards team has been named.
Yeah, and I see the Wizards team. Ah, screw those guys.
Yeah, it's Aaron Forsythe, Ryan Spain, Dave Humphreys, Tom LaPille, Helen Bergerow, Matthew Gregory, Mike Kurian, Worth Wolpert.
So that's some ringers.
Those are our villains.
Yeah, they got a pretty solid team to battle our community team.
They do. I think they made our community team a little weak this year, but, you know, that's just me.
I think we got some good guys.
We do. There's some good ones, but I don't think it's as strong as it's been in the past.
Yeah, like, I mean, I think Paul Cheon's gonna be good.
Yes.
Lepore at least can think outside the box. Dalibor, I heard, crushes all the PTQs in Mexico, so he's strong. Scotty Mac has, you know, been playing a ton of Magic, and so is Tom Ross.
Yeah.
The boss. And I don't know about Bjorn, I don't think I've ever seen him play, so I can't comment on his Magic ability. But I'm sure, like, the people that are strong, like, the ringers are gonna, you know, like, help guys out, like, Sean Plott and stuff like that.
I hope. Guys, remember how this website came up on Wizards and everyone complained? Well, they received exactly around 700, more than 700 emails reporting issues about the website. From content issues to critical function problems. And, you know, they thank us because, you know, without us, they wouldn't know that these problems were there. Really? Worth. I'm sorry.
Hey, was it he or is it Trick Jarrett? Or at least the...
It doesn't matter. It's all right. It's Worth. It's Trick. It's Trick in this case. That's the site. Worth is, the MTGO problem guy. So there you go. Correct?
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's all the same.
I mean, at least we spoke up because I bet you if we'd said nothing as a community, like, they would think everything's fine and continue to leave the crappy site.
I don't know how the fuck they could think everything's fine on this thing. Dude, I linked the wrong thing. And I've been doing show notes now for 82 fucking episodes and I linked the wrong article. That's fucking horrendous. Ugh. Anyway, they're gonna try and fix it. So tell them they fucked up again. Because, yeah. Damn, I'm kinda sad Mike left.
Yeah, well, I mean, something probably came up that was pretty important.
I would assume so. Anyway, what you been up to there, Celso?
Let's see. Between last week and this week, well, I was away on vacation and conferences and stuff, and then came back to relax for a week and found a giant pile of boxes all over the living room. So, guess what I have to play after playing several weeks of Pack the Box?
Unpack the Box.
It's a beautiful game, my friend. Beautiful. But doesn't mean I didn't get to play Magic. I've been jamming a ton of Modern because I really, really like my Modern deck. Been playing a ton of Blue White Red Kiki. Like a control deck. Lots of like no and kill your guy, get this nonsense out of here. And I didn't realize this till lately, but I have an addiction, man. I have a really bad addiction.
Oh yeah?
It's draw card disease. Like if things say draw card, like I can't get my hands off of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Ball
moments.
I know that addiction very well.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing, but it's an addiction.
It's so, dude, speaking, look, I understand it so well. The other day I drafted 4 Wall of Mulch.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I felt good about it.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll shut down the early game, use my Wall of Mulch is when I have things stabilized, and I'll just win.
Yeah, and it doesn't die to Fester Gloom.
No, it definitely does not die to Fester Gloom.
It's so sweet. Like, you just, I don't know, maybe my purview on Magic lately has been, if you play a deck with a high velocity, like that deck, you're just gonna consistently draw all those cards that you need to win the game, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, instead of playing, like, I've piloted a whole bunch of different decks in the format, like, I'll take Black-Green as a really good example. The card advantage of Black-Green, really good, right? I mean, mm-hmm. you got removal spells, you got Tarmogoyf, and Liliana, and Lingering Souls, like, those things are great. But you're relying on the top of your deck to, like, get you out of that scenario. But if you draw a ton of cards, you get so many resources that you could just keep, like, using or turning into different things, and so I love this kind of deck. I really
this
do.
Is why blue has been good for so long.
Yeah, exactly.
Because when they're out of cards, your hand's full.
Yeah, and
you cannot lose from that position unless you are a terrible fucking player.
Yeah, and why do you think people groan at Sphinx's Revelation? Because it draws you so many cards, and you're restocking with all those resources, you know?
And yeah. Cast Restock to restock your Sphinx's Rev. Sorry. I just had to say it.
But yeah, it's just silly. Like, you just get this awesome resource advantage. So, like, and virtual card advantage. So, like, yeah, Restoration Angel doesn't say draw a card, but you know what? You blink out that wall the moment you're drawing a card, you know? Mm-hmm. So I like that deck. And also, like, in the format, it's really nice to play a deck where you have a combo out. You know, just like Pod has a combo out. You know, this deck has a combo out with Kiki Jiki Restoration Angel. So,
right.
I'm gonna jam it this weekend, my friend, up in New Hampshire, because there's an awesome tournament. First prize, Judge Bobs.
Ooh.
Like, the only Bob that you could find out in Magic Land in the old border style, and it's pimp.
Oh my.
And, like, second place is a Goyf, which is fine, because I have none. And third and fourth, I think, is a Liliana the Veil. Perfectly fine card, don't have that either. Modern Legacy staple. And the prize support, I think, goes down to, like, 16. So, while everybody's gonna be PTQing in Albany, I'm gonna go the opposite direction and battle maybe 40, 50 people. And I'm psyched, because I got the last two cards that I needed for this deck. Which is
Wait. You said the other direction. The other direction from Albany is Buffalo, man. I learned that from the Erie Canal song.
Fair point. So later this week, I'll get my two cryptic commands that I need so I can own the deck outright. And you know what else I picked up, which was pimp? I for the longest time, I've been, you know, I know it's expensive, but I think it's totally worth it. Do you remember the Arena Mana Leaks?
Yes.
It's the only, like, foil old border version of Mana Leak, but apparently they're very hard to find in the wild. And, like, retail, it's stupid. Retail's like $50. No way.
For a fucking Mana Leak.
Yeah. But you know which ones don't look that bad that I actually picked up a playset of, or I ordered it and I'm gonna get it later this week? The 8th, 9th edition. Cause it has the Stronghold art,
mm-hmm.
and when it's foil, the border becomes black.
Yep.
So, like, you know, for people out there that want pimp Mana Leaks, you can still get those. And, like, the foil look, instead of looking like a dark, dark blue, it still has, like, the lighter blue to kind of mimic the older border. So, I'm psyched to play this deck. I mean, I borrowed the cryptics from other people and played in other things, but, like, I'm psyched that I have the deck outright and I could jam it this weekend and probably for quite a while, because that's what's awesome about Modern. Hold on to your deck. So, that's basically it, and unpacking boxes and playing Modern.
You're gonna have to really convince me on what's awesome about Modern, because, I don't know, man. I just look at it, and I just go, this format just, ugh.
Like, is it because it's stale, or is it because...
It's honestly because I haven't liked it since the giddy up, to be real honest. Like, it just, it's been toyed with way too much by Wizards. It's become a combo haven with no checks. Because they you know, got rid of all the good blue cards.
Yeah.
And now there's combos everywhere. And it doesn't seem like there's good checks and balances in the format. And it drives me fucking bananas.
Well, the weird part, though, is, like, those combo decks are now, like, they're different styles of decks that have a combo element underneath them. Like,
right.
Like, for example, Pod is kind of a mid-rangey deck that can combo you if it wants to, whether it be Malira, or whether it be Kiki Jiki,
or even Red Cap, yeah.
Yeah, or Archangel Athune, you know, like one of those routes.
Yeah.
And Twin is becoming more and more of a tempo deck now that, like, happens to win through Kiki Jiki or Splinter Twin. And, like, my deck is really a control deck that can win through Kiki Jiki. So there are combos floating around, but...
Yeah, Scape Shift still shows up once in a while.
Yeah, I saw a really cool version of Scape Shift. Was it Scape Twin?
Oh my god.
Two combos in one?
Yeah, that's what we need. I'm sorry, like, that's just my issue with Modern. Like, you know, Legacy has the tools to answer it, so Combo doesn't go too crazy, but Combo can still win a Legacy tournament. You know what I mean? Like, there is the checks and balances, but at the same time, it's still available for everybody to possibly win. Yes, Delver has become oppressive only because, and this is the honest to God truth, this is what I think. You can tell me what you think also.
Yeah.
The only reason Delver has become so good is because everybody is just like, oh, well, Delver's winning. That's what I'm playing.
Yeah, it is a popular deck. I think I was on the Posse page or somewhere where, like, they reported the, like, in one room it was 30% of the field. Yeah. I mean, and I buy that.
I completely buy that. That just seems perfectly reasonable to me, as sad as that sounds. And people aren't playing the old school style Legacy decks that, you know, like Stacks, and thank God for Feline still playing High Tide. Like, I love that.
Yeah, or Landstill, or like.
Yeah. So, I mean, Maverick showed up this week, which is something you don't see very often, but showed up.
It fell behind the mono red sneak attack deck.
It did. It did. But, you know, you understand what I'm saying. Like, there's a lot more checks and balances in Legacy, and that's what makes me look to that format as, well, hey, this looks funner to me than Modern. Modern's just,
Well, that's what I like about having these banner-restricted updates, because I do feel like they will unlock, either they'll unlock some tools to help Control get wedged into the metagame a bit more, or they will print new cards that are Modern-friendly that will help the format out a bit, too. Like, it's one of those things where, I mean, you do have to have a little bit of faith that the format will continue to get better, and I think it kind of has, because there are different decks starting to fill up more and more. But for you, my friend, I know the deck that probably would fit you the best. If I had to guess a deck for Angelo in Modern, I have a good feeling you would play Blue Moon. That is a deck that loves to say no and screw you a lot.
Blue Moon's cool. Like, I mean, I've looked at that deck multiple times, and I'm like, I can see me playing this. I won't lie.
Yeah.
But at the same time, realistically, like, I can see me also running the Infect deck.
Okay.
Because I do like the Infect. I do want to see how Tarmo Twin does, or not Tarmo Twin, Tarmo Rack. Because I don't think anyone's ever really tried that.
Yeah, I definitely think the splash color would be very interesting.
Yeah, so I was thinking black.
Oh, the mono, like, 8-rack? Mono black 8-rack?
I don't know. What's all in that?
Oh, so 8-rack...
Is that the one Scotty Mac came up with?
No, that's...
Or not Scotty Mac, but... oh, Christ, what the hell is his name? He used to be on the A-Team. Smitty, years ago.
I'm not sure, but...
Because I helped him build a deck that basically was... He took credit for building it, which, by all means, knock yourself out. I don't care.
Yeah.
I gave him an old deck list of mine that I almost won an old extended PTQ with, and he made a few tweaks to it.
It's basically, it came about around, I want to say RTR, because the Racks 5 through 8 came out, which was Shrieking Affliction.
Okay.
So it plays, it plays Shrieking Affliction and the Rack, which is time shifted.
Yeah, I don't think I would do both of them.
Yeah, and you play all the discard spells. So you play, like, Thought Seizes, Inquisitions, Wrench Minds, Liliana of the Veils, discard galore. And basically, you're going to stop your opponents from attacking you because you're playing main deck and Snaring Bridges. And then, like, for your lands, you're playing Swamps with Urborg, but also, not Mutavault, Blinkmoth Nexus, because you'll always on your turn have a card in hand, main phase, so you can get in with your Blinkmoth Nexus and attack for a bunch.
How about this? Okay, hear me out on this. You could write these down and look over them as I say it. How about 4 Bob?
Yep. Oh, yeah, Bob's in that deck, too. Sorry.
Okay. 4 Bob, 4 Goyf. Mm-hmm. 4 Life of the Loam.
Okay.
2 Raven's Crime.
Yep.
4 Cry of Contradiction.
Whoa. I gotta look up this one. I feel like I might have seen it in one.
Cry of Contrition, I think it is. It's Ravnica.
Cry of Contrition. Gilpak.
Sim.
Discard with Haunt.
Yes.
Okay.
That way when, 4 Smallpox.
Ah.
4 Rack.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can fill out the rest of it however in the fuck you want. That's the type of deck I'm thinking of playing.
So, like, a black-green Pox. Okay.
Yeah, it's just, it's Tarmo Rack.
Yeah, I mean, like, people have played that and, like, was it? Like, a Life from the Loam, like, Seismic Assault Shell, like, if you wanted to play Jund.
Yeah.
People have played it that way. I'm trying to think what other shells.
Yeah, you can use cards like Ghost Quarter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you got the life from the loam. It just...
Oh, I saw another cool shell. I tried it once or twice myself. It didn't really explore the archetype that much, but it's like loam pox, but you also had a young pyromancer. So, like, you cast the smallpox, and then with that in the stack, you're making the token, right? So you just sack the token, and they sack whatever.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing about the deck, and, like, I ran this deck, basically, that's the shell of what I ran, and I ran it in an extended tournament, PTQ, top-8ed, and, like, did really well with the deck, enjoyed it tremendously, and the nice thing about the deck was when you needed Bob to die, it was so easy to let him die.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I'll just sack the Bob.
Yeah, it's like smallpox Bob. And you keep them off of lands, you keep them off of creatures, you keep them off of cards in hand, and then you just sit there and look at your rack and laugh.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to die to that.
Yep, exactly.
So, I don't know. I'm probably going to build something along those lines. I just got to get my hands on the Goyf.
Yeah, well, like, I mean, black-green is just a solid... Like, there's different ways to build it, for sure.
And now I can add Abrupt Decay to that.
Yep, you get Abrupt Decay. You could play cards like Maelstrom Pulse. You could play... Slaughter Pack actually sees quite a bit of play, too, because you don't have to worry about
that was actually
tapping out. Yeah.
Yeah, back in the day, that was in there.
Because, like, if they try to twin combo you, it could just be like, getcha, Slaughter Pack.
Yeah, the key to that deck's Raven's Grime, realistically.
Yeah, like, I think this format is, like, the common phrase, like, people will probably hear in articles and stuff, it's Jundang, quote-unquote, but that really is, like, basically, Black-Green has found various shells to operate in a format where you do have several decks with combos, and it beats up on all those. So, like, that exists to fight that. Aggro is pretty weak, which is sad, because, like, if you want to be aggressive in the format, you're pretty much either playing Affinity, or you're playing Burn. That's pretty much, I mean, or Infect, yeah, that's true. Yeah, because that's like aggro combo. Yeah.
Didn't Zoo kind of make a little comeback recently?
Yeah.
Wild McConnell's always... back, and, you know.
Like, if Path to Exile kind of falls away, then, like, Zoo gets a little bit better, because the Tarmogoyf can, like, withstand the lightning bolts, but, I mean, people are, like, inherently beating up on Zoo, too, with playing so many lightning bolts and flame slashes and stuff in the format, too. So, like, you don't have too much aggro, and, like, you don't have too much, like, Drago control as well. I mean, it's pretty much like you're pretty much going blue, white, red control, which is basically my deck, maybe minus the Kiki Jikis, minus Wall of Omens, but you're still playing like Snapcasters and some number of Restoration Angels and tons of counterspells and stuff like that. And there isn't like, I wish that there is some sort of a tempo deck. Like, I wish that there is a Delver deck that kind of exists. I mean, right now, blue, red's sort of been the popular choice, but like, as I hinted to before, I think Bug Delver could be very strong because if you think about it, like, what are Jund's strongest cards? Like, you have Abrupt Decay, kill spells, like Inquisitions, Thought Seizes, discard, stuff like that. And like, Bug Delver and Legacy is already beating up on combo decks, you know?
Yeah.
So why not try to port it over to Modern, because you still have Delver,
wait. No Force of Will.
Well, yeah, that is a downside, but
that is a major fucking downside. No Days, no Force of Will.
But you still have some reasonably cheap counter magic that fits fine in Modern. Like, in those shells, it plays Spell Pierce, Spell Snare, Remands, and sometimes Mana Leak as well. So, like, if you have that whole counter magic suite, and then you have some removal spells like Abrupt Decay and whatnot, and then you have your creature bases, Goyfs and Delvers and Bobs, like, you're not in too bad of a shape. I mean, granted, Death Rite would be better. I'll concede that point, but I think that's just one variant of Delver that probably could be looked at a little bit more, you know?
Yeah, have to dive into it maybe a little bit.
That's what's cool about the format, is like, there's definitely lots of unexplored space and like lots of various decks floating around. Like, even on MTG Bro Deals, I basically listed deck list after deck list after deck list to just kind of illustrate, you know, here's what the format is, and like, if I were to build a gauntlet, like, what would I make sure to be prepared for? I would include these and not these other ones. It was a five-parter, and there's still decks that I probably haven't mentioned that could easily pop up at some point. You know? It's crazy.
Fair enough. I don't know, man. Like, I do have to get ready for Modern. Like, I'm not going to lie, because, you know, if there's going to be a GP in my city, goddammit, I'm going to try and win it.
Yeah. But
I do not see me doing well at this, because I just don't have any raw desire to really get into Modern, which is a shame.
And also, like, the other attractive thing, too, is I think the speed is actually pretty nice. Like, I first complained about the speed being even a little too slow, because I'm comparing it to Legacy, where it's pretty quick and very efficient. But what's nice about slowing up a little bit is there's certain expensive cards that you would never see DRC in Legacy that are perfectly fine in Modern. Like,
yeah, like Cryptic Command.
Yeah, Thundermaw Hellkite.
Yeah.
Like, that sees some play. I'm sure I'm missing a bunch of... Thrun the Last Troll is easily playable. Like, like these Keranos. Oh my god, dude.
Yeah, Keranos, I have seen the blue red Keranos.
Insane. I bring it in against Jund. They just can't beat it if it sticks. Like, you know, untap, like, there was turns where I think my opponent had Liliana and two Lingering Souls ready to beat me down with, and I had pretty much no hand, nothing on my board, except for Keranos, right? Untap, flip Electrolyze, kill your Liliana, cast Electrolyze, kill your Lingering Souls tokens, draw a card, and now I'm back in the game all of a sudden, you know? With That's one turn.
That is sick.
It's like, oh, I whiffed on a land? Darn, I guess I could get to draw another card, you know?
Yep.
Yeah,
Yeah, I'll figure something out. I have over a year to do it. So I'll definitely be grinding something. I mean, what's your schedule look like for next year in the GPs? Going to a bunch of them?
Well, dude, there's no way, unless it like some family emergency comes up, but I am blocking out that weekend before Thanksgiving, my friend. Not only is it a format I enjoy, it's in a pretty awesome city too.
It is. I'm definitely going to be there. I'm keeping it small. I'm not going to invite a bunch of people over. Like, original plan was like huge party, but I was also thinking it'd be in the summer and I could like put tents in the backyard for people, and I don't live in a big place, so I'm like, eh. And I'm a little north of Pittsburgh, so you know, if like most people, if they're coming to my house, they're crashing at least for the one night. Well, the Friday, because it's the week before Thanksgiving and I'm gonna have people over, my wife, she's gonna do a Thanksgiving dinner type deal.
Oh, nice.
So I get back from the GP about 9, 10 o'clock, and, like, Thanksgiving dinner will be ready.
Oh, man, that's sick.
Yeah, you know, just have a few beers, eat some Thanksgiving dinner, and go to bed and wake up. Got leftovers like crazy to take with you to the GP. Pack yourself a turkey sandwich.
Oh, man, that's the beauty of Thanksgiving dinner. But, yep. Hey, man, seeing you as alone is just a treat going back over there.
Have you ever seen how I make a turkey?
How do you do deep frying or you do something else?
I wrap that son of a bitch in bacon. It keeps it so moist.
Ooh. Yeah. Oh yeah. And you have a smoker too, right? Yeah.
I do, but I won't be smoking that late in the year.
Okay.
But yeah, what I'll do, I'll cook it right in the oven or the wife will, and we wrap the whole thing in bacon, and the bacon fat actually keeps it moist. Until probably about a half an hour before the bird's done, you know, when it's still really, really moist, but. Cause you know, it's real easy to, in that last half hour, to cook it that extra 5 minutes where it becomes dry and shitty.
Oh yeah.
That's when you put the bacon on and just let that bacon fat just drip into it. A whole baby.
Wait, let me step back a second. How did I not guess that Angelo was wrapping bacon on this fucking turkey?
Yeah, Angelo does that. Angelo doesn't fuck around. And then I got all that bacon to eat. It's great.
Yeah, so Pittsburgh's definitely a must. Like, that's definitely one that I'm very willing and happily ready to travel to. Ready to down some Permanis. Down some, you know, Icy's, just because it is Pittsburgh. Where else are you going to get them, you know?
Dude, is this the only city with Icy's?
Yeah.
Like, that fucks me up. What about Slush Puppies? Can you get them anywhere else?
Oh, wait, whoops. Not ICEE. I mean, IC is in Iron City.
Oh, okay.
My bad. Well, yeah, I guess you usually say IC like Iron City.
You gotta get a steak salad, bro.
Steak salad?
For you people that don't live in Pittsburgh and don't know what a steak fucking salad is, let me tell you. It is a salad with all the goodies. So just think of what you would put on a salad if you was making a salad, okay? Okay, you got all that in your head. You know, your cucumber, your tomato, your olives, blah, 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 blah. Okay, all that's in your head. Good. Then you top that son of a bitch with some shredded cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Take hot French fries right out of the deep fryer. Slap that on top of there. And then you take choice cut steak that you've cut into little fucking, like, niblets and throw that on top of that.
So it's like you have a steak and frites on one side and a salad on another, and you're like, no. We're going to put this all together.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, cover that son of a bitch in some ranch or some Italian dressing. Yeah, that's good eating. And that's a Pittsburgh thing. Like, I have never found a good steak salad anywhere outside of Pittsburgh.
So we put fries on salad. We put fries in sandwiches. Am I going to open up like a pumpkin pie over there and there's going to be French fries inside of it or something?
No, you might open a pierogi and find them, though. I've seen that one. I was like, why can't I just get mashed taters? Why the fuck you got people just got to... Dude, the rogues the people make around here are insane. Like, I'm just going to get mashed taters. You got to put fucking french fries in there.
Oh, my God. That's great.
Like,
so, yeah.
You fry a pierogi with mashed potatoes in it. It's like a fucking big french fry.
It's like, all right, we're going to take a starch, and we're going to wrap a starch around a starch. Perfect. Beautiful.
Welcome to Pittsburgh, man.
So that's definitely a must. Let's see. Before then, like, Quebec City, depending, like, on what our friendly Canadians up there are doing, thinking, like, maybe I'll go up because it's not that terribly far. Going back farther, or Montreal. I mean, but that's a holiday weekend. It's 4th of July. Yeah. Providence, I can't say no to Providence. Like, that's my backyard.
I think I might actually drive up here. I love that city.
Oh, man. Hey, you definitely have a place to crash if you're coming over this way. That's for sure.
Sweet.
I'm kind of curious. Like, here's a good question. Where are you speculating this TBD North American city is going to be at the end of May?
Where's it going to be, or what's it going to be?
Where? No, I think we're pretty much, well, a lot of people have agreed it's Modern Masters too. Yeah.
Where's it going to be?
Yeah.
I don't think they'll do Vegas. I think they're going to go the other way, and they're going to hit fucking, like, New York City.
Oh, my God. You think they're going to pull that off?
New York City or L.A., it's going to be a big one if it's going to be Modern Masters too. It's going to be one of the big cities of the country. You know, a tourist attraction on its own.
Like maybe Jacob Javits Center playing, like, Modern Masters 2 in middle Manhattan.
I don't know if they'll put it downtown, but probably. I mean, it could be anywhere. I would think it would be one of the big cities, though, like Miami, Chicago, New York City, or L.A.
Yeah,
because I don't think it would be Vegas, because that was just 2 years ago, and if they're going to do every Modern Masters in Vegas, like,
yeah.
I can't see them doing it. They'd be catering too much to the West Coast, and I know everybody on the West Coast just shit themselves because it seems like all the good GPs are on the East Coast, but yeah.
I mean, Vegas isn't, like, a terrible flight from a lot of cities either.
No, it's actually fairly cheap for most cities, yeah, because every city has a flight flying out to it, so yeah. I don't think that's bad, but... Yeah, I'm eager.
Yeah, and I think depending on where it is, as long as it's reasonable to fly out there, that might be a must. I mean, also too, with these VPs, depends on who's going too, because you want to be with people that you really enjoy, like you can soak up the whole experience, right?
Oh, you know it, man. Like, I mean, all you got to do is just look how good Philly was.
Oh my God. And Worcester, even though I wasn't there for like the Sunday and the end of Saturday night, it was still insane. Like,
yeah. I mean, I've been to some good GPs. I've been to some bad GPs, but the more people you know when you go to them, the better they are.
Oh yeah. Are you pondering Atlantic City?
Probably not.
Not too far?
No. Just, I hate that fucking city.
I don't blame you. It is in the state of New Jersey. Sorry, everybody would go over there.
Well, it's not even that. It's just like, okay, if you're from around here, you understand the cliche of, like, Atlantic City is Pittsburgh's white trash vacation point.
Right.
And there's just something about growing up with that thought in my head that I can't stand that fucking place. Like, the only reason to go before is because there was gambling there and there wasn't gambling in PA.
Right.
And now that there's gambling in PA, like, the place is a dump.
Yeah, no, it's true. I can agree to that. I think I went there for like 2 days on the spring break and we're like, yeah, that's enough.
I'd rather go to Virginia Beach.
Yeah, or Ocean City, Maryland, where I was recently. So like, that's a maybe, depends on who's going, and like, maybe Baltimore, but like,
dude, I looked into Baltimore because I was thinking of Baltimore myself.
Yeah.
47% of the hotels are already taken up in that city. The Ravens got a home game that weekend.
That explains.
So, like, the price is higher than it should be. Like, the last time I went to Baltimore, I stayed at the Days Inn.
Yeah.
Which is, like, right across the street from the fucking convention center. And it was, like, $86 a night. I looked at it a couple days ago, and it was $141 because the Ravens have a home game that weekend.
Yeah, still not bad compared to most cities.
No, it's not terrible, but it's not what I was ready for, like, when I looked at it, because, like, I was just going to book it because it's like, well, it's Baltimore. It's only, like, a fucking 4.5-hour drive.
Let's see, who are they playing? Oh, the Jaguars?
It doesn't matter. It's
I know. It's just funny because it's like the stadium will fill up, but it's also the Jaguars.
Yeah.
At least it's like, I mean, like, but at least it'd be more fun if it was the Steelers or like even the Bengals. I mean, that's starting to become more and more heated. But like,
the Jaguars is a game they might win this year.
I know.
I'm just talking out my ass. I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm paying no attention to the NFL and I refuse to watch a single game this year.
That's a bummer.
Well, you know what? The game has been changed so much. The fact that defense is no longer allowed to play defense. Like, you cannot touch a fucking quarterback in that league. And I'm somebody who literally had the red zone for 3 straight years, just 3 years ago. And the changes they've made, I've watched less and less football every year because of it. And this year, I'm just going to walk away from it. I'll watch college ball.
But, like, that's the beauty of both our teams, though. It's like, you know what? Fine. You're going to make these rules. We don't care. We're still going to win games and still hit people hard.
Yeah, but I don't know, maybe for your team, but my team seems to get fines thrown at them like fucking left and right. And all it does is just upset me. It's like they can't play their style of football anymore. And it, to me, like this new whoever scores 40 first wins fucking NFL, this isn't the NFL to me. Like I just, I'm sorry. You know, I'm used to, I like Big Ten style, fucking 3 yards and a cloud of smoke.
Yeah, well, yeah, at least with the college game, that's why I'm excited to, like, I mean, granted, the Hokies aren't, you know, the most glamorous football team out there, but man, they still hit people, you know?
Are you kidding me, dude? I watch Pitt.
Yeah.
Like, we're not glamorous, but.
Yeah. Oh, wait, is Weinstadt still there or no?
Weinstadt got chased out years ago. We had Todd Graham for a while, then we had another dude for a day, and then he got arrested for beating up his wife. And now we got the dude, what the fuck's his name? He came from Wisconsin.
Oh, the guy with the buzz cut?
Yeah, yeah. He's really? Very dry, but he's good. Like, I mean, Todd Graham was hilarious, but like, he sucked. He's like, I'm gonna stay here forever. Speed, speed, speed. And then fucking, like, Arizona State calls me. He's like, see you later. I'm out of here with speed, speed, speed. It's like, what the fuck? But no, the new dude's good. I mean, but Pitt always has some players that hit. Like, last year we had Aaron Donald. I mean, the team wasn't good, but I could watch Aaron Donald play every fucking week, no problem. The dude was a monster.
Paul Chryst is the coach. That is not the guy I was thinking of. He was the OC at Wisconsin, which is that part's true. But I'm thinking of that like corn-fed meathead guy from that was the head coach of Wisconsin.
You see Paul Chryst.
Yeah. Oh no, he's a big guy too. But like, I'm trying to remember what the guy.
You're talking about, man. You're talking about the dude from Kansas. Mangino.
No.
He's a local boy. I wish he'd have got the job. He's from just north of here in a town called Newcastle. And
really?
Yeah, he was the coach of Kansas. Dude, he owns a pizza shop up there, and his pizza is banging.
Really? Well, I mean, and from a guy like that, I mean, I'd hope that...
Their family has owned that pizza shop. It's been in their family for like 3 generations now. I mean, their pizza is just slamming, dude. The crust is perfect thin. It's just...
I'm listening.
It's just so good, man. It's so fucking good.
As long as that goddamn tomato cake that, you know.
It's not that tomato cake.
Brett Bielema was the guy I was thinking of.
Oh, okay.
He's at Arkansas now. Or in the SEC.
Interesting.
Do we play you guys this year, by the way?
I think so. I mean, we're both ACC teams, and we're like a rivalry. Because when Yins were in the Big East, we was a rivalry. I love that, because we always beat Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
Like, they could go 10-1. That one loss was against Pitt. Although Mike Vick years, dude, Pitt harassed Mike Vick. He could not beat Pitt. It used to crack me the fuck up. They're like, we're going to play for a national title this year. God damn it, Pitt beat us again 3-0.
And his brother was a complete idiot, too. Ugh.
Oh. He's a complete idiot.
At Pitt, Thursday Nighter, ESPN.
Sweet.
That'll be good. Right after my birthday, too.
We're going to have to Skype and yell at each other the whole game.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be a fun game. Oh, man. That's a cool, like, away and home. Like, they got a Thursday Nighter on the road, and then they got a Thursday Nighter at home against the U. So, the schedule is, like, not the most glamorous outside of going to Apple, Ohio State. But, you know, hey, it's still, tough-nosed football. Can't beat that, man.
Yeah, but if you win that, like, I'm going to be rooting for you guys because that'll bring so much credit to the ACC.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Florida State at least brought some respect a little bit. But did you follow that story of the hashtag that flopped completely?
No.
So they did like Florida State did a thing like hashtag ask Jameis Winston, that quarterback.
Yeah.
And
Jermichael.
Like, people were trolling him so hard. It was like, which one's protected you better this past year? Your offensive line or the Tallahassee Police Department?
Oh,
yeah. It was like.
Yeah, the bad thing is, like, they're going to win the conference.
Yeah, it's powerful. I mean, it's really powerful.
Yeah. Hey, I should move on to a couple things. Let's see, just to get back to Magic.
Oh, wait, this is a Magic podcast.
See, this is what happens when me and Celso are left unsupervised.
We were playing some wicked football over here.
Yeah, we're planning stuff. By the way, I will be in Cleveland this year for sure.
Oh, GP Cleveland?
They got their first GP. It is limited. I am going to be there. No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Nice. Like, so go there, Poppy.
Yeah. Dude, it's like a 2-hour drive for me. Like, I might not even get a hotel room. I might just drive home every day. Nice. Anyway, do you play MTGO, people? Celso, do you play MTGO?
I haven't, but because we were moving, I haven't been, but I plan to hop back on once we got some boxes unpacked, for
sure. Are you in a clan, by chance?
I think I am, but, you know, it's like the everybody go join limited resources clan and, like, set it and forget it.
Yeah, well, here's the deal. If you don't want to be in that clan because everybody's in that clan, and you want to be in the hip new clan, our clan is now live. It has been approved. The Pitims has a clan. Right now I've been doing a lot of standard testing. Believe it or not, I've been playing a lot of future standard. And we're, like, you know, trying to figure out the format so when States comes around after cons, we get to leg up. So you can join our clan and you can help us do some of this testing if you want. I will say, like, I've been playing Junk and it is very solid. The red deck is going to be real and mono green is real. Like, Garrick might be gone, but that deck's still so fucking good.
Now, are you playing Junk because you get to say Junk?
I'm saying,
hey, I have to ask.
I play a Junk just so when I win one of these things, I can say I was playing Junk and not Abzan.
Oh my god, you should put that in the deck list, not Abzan.
Yeah, what are you playing? Junk, not Abzan. GFY.
The better Abzan, Junk.
Yeah, but no, I mean, the deck is real. I got a couple tweaks I'm making still, but man, I just gotta remember how to play standard at this point.
It's not too bad. Like,
nah, it's
like,
not hard. I mean, my record's more wins than losses. It's just like, I fail to remember what some of the outs in people's decks are. And, you know, when you're used to playing limited, like I've been for so long, remembering that fourth copy of a card is like real.
Oh, so
you
know, it's more
you're
like
he has two cards in hand. What could he have? You know, it's like, eh, maybe this, you know, and I think of the things that, you know, I know there's four ofs in the deck and I don't think of that third Nissa. You know what I mean? It's like, ah, fuck, I lost. I've made some play lines. It's mainly just like I've made play line mistakes where, like, if I would have played my cards in a different order, like, I clearly would have won, but instead, you know, I lost because I didn't play them in that order. Right. It's just those little things that I have to get used to.
Oh, yeah. Sequencing, like, any constructed format's definitely a big one.
Yeah. I just got to get used to working on my sequencing a little bit, and I'll be fine. I mean, I have plenty of time before, you know, the new standard happens. But, yeah, be aware of mono green, red white, which is just going to be the speed deck, rabble red, and junk. Those look to be the four that are going to survive and be well. I haven't played against mono blue yet, but I suspect it should be good as well.
All right. What deck in the format's going to draw the most cards? I'm interested in whatever that is. Junk draws a few cards, kind of.
Well, mono green can really draw a fuck ton of cards.
Really?
Yeah, it uses Eidolon, Courser.
Oh, the Blossoms, yeah.
Yeah, and it works that engine like you wouldn't believe, and Nihilus draws cards. You know, it can draw a lot of cards. Junk draws a decent amount, but it depends on how many Read the Bones or Blood you're willing to run.
Yeah.
You know, you're still going to get a little bit of a little bit of card draw quasi through your coursers, but it doesn't draw as many cards. I don't know what control is going to look like. Just the control shells that are out there now, there's just nothing that's surviving. So
yeah, like what block offered, what, just bug as your premier control deck of the format?
Yeah, it wasn't very good, and M15 didn't give it enough.
Yeah.
So like I'm not sure of that one. There's some rough thing, you know, a little bit of rough lines to work with right now. I got a decent team right now who's building like crazy, and we're putting together decks on the clan, so that's good times. I had a guy almost die at work today.
What? Oh, no.
Yeah, like, I'm sitting there, and I'm trimming shrubs on the other side of this housing complex, and my one employee comes running over to me, my underling. He comes running over to me, Angelo. I'm like, what, Leroy? He's like, Jeremy's down. I'm like, what the fuck do you mean he's down? Like, he's dying. I'm like, what happened? He got stung by bees. I'm like, okay.
Oh, is he allergic?
Well, no, but, you know, it's one of the, I've been in this situation where you get stung that much that you're allergic. You don't have to be allergic to bees. If you get hit enough times, it doesn't matter if you're not allergic, you're allergic. People who are allergic to bees, it takes less of the venom to fuck them up.
Right.
If you're not normally allergic to bees, like the one time I got sent into shock, I got stung 34 times.
Jeez.
And I got sent into shock, and I'm not allergic to bees at all. But, you know, when you get that much poison in you, guess what happens?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he was weed-eating the hillside with, you know, actually it was another crew, but they just happened to be on our job site, and he hit a fucking ground nest of hornets.
Oh, that's the worst.
They come out and nailed him, dude. And I'm like, ah, fuck. So they called the ambulance before I ever got over there. And I'm like asking my helper, you know, the little employee under me, Leroy, I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do over there? Like, well, you're the foreman. You should know this. Like, he's on a different crew. He has a different fucking foreman. He's like, yeah, but they told me to come get you. I'm like, oh, okay. So I get over there. I'm like, quit crouching into a ball and put your hands behind your head so you can fucking breathe. You know, and then I called my boss and, you know, I'm so detached from giving a shit that,
yeah,
it's kind of sad. Like, I call my boss and he's like, hey, we got a little problem. He's like, well, I was like, Jeremy's dying. And this is exactly how I said it. And Jeremy's dying. He goes, the fuck do you mean he's dying? I was like, he can't breathe and he's over there dying. He's like, well, is he going to be okay? I'm like, if somebody doesn't get here soon, he's going to be dead.
Jeez.
He's like, well, what's going on? I'm like, well, they called an ambulance. They're on their way. And, you know, he's going to be okay in the long run. I just figured you'd want to know this. He's like, yeah, okay. You know, and we go over, you know, what everyone's going to do once the ambulance gets there and gets rid of him so we can finish the job up. And then he calls me back. He goes, hey, did any of you think that it would be cheaper and maybe quicker for you guys just to run him to the hospital yourselves? I'm like, I don't know. He was already down on the ground, like not breathing by the time I got here. I don't know how long he was out. I was like, let me ask. So I asked one of the other guys that. And dude, I got screamed at like you would not believe. I think his fucking life is more important than a couple fucking dollars. And I'm like, hey, I'm just asking, man. How quickly did he go into shock? Fucking right away, he was swallowing his tongue. I was like, okay, then that's a different story. You know?
Yeah.
But you can't blame me for checking.
Right.
You know, but, you know, I guess I'm a cold-hearted brick. Oh, well, who doesn't know that?
Hey, I mean, you know, you get into those spots, I mean, it's, you know, there's no right answer a lot of the time either.
No, I mean, I gotta keep my head cool and I have to be the boss. You know what I mean? So, like, that's how I have to be, regardless of the fact that, yeah, there's a dude there probably, you know, very close to death. It's like, hey, ambulance is on his way. So if the ambulance shows up, they grab him. I look at everyone else and go, get back to fucking work. It's like, they know what they're doing a lot better than any of us. Let's just get back to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, and everyone wanted to stand around and wonder what they're going to do to them. They're going to give him a fucking EpiPen and they're going to put him on a fucking IV. Now let's get back to work.
He will be just fine.
Yeah, really. Oh, well, I mean, it is what it is. Shout outs. I'm going to give a shout out to Buttercup because I think I've missed him the last few weeks.
Yeah, where has he been, man? I miss him.
I actually don't know, man. Like, I haven't talked to him recently, so I don't know what's going on with him. He's going to have to hit me up and say hello and let me know that he's fucking still alive. I also want to give a shout out to Justin and Travis. They've been playing games with me online, helping me out into the future. That's great. Shout out to Corey because, yeah, I had to fuck with you and just let that go, man. Like, you decided that we were quitting, and when I put up the special announcement, and hey, I'm not going to argue with you. I am going to troll you back. Also, let me give a shout out to Mr. Hardy and Mr. Celso because they came on literally last minute to help me do this. Brian literally did not know that he wasn't going to be on the cast till 10 minutes before. And these two guys jumped on in time, so that was cool. Even though Hardy had to leave early, that's understandable. Celso's still here. We're good. You got any shout-outs, bro?
Yeah, well, shout-out to you. Thanks for having me back on. It's always fun to be back in the with the posse over on the Pit Imps.
Oh, dude, whenever. You know that.
Yeah, let's see. You know, I mean, shout-out to Ryan, too. I mean, like, it's a bummer he couldn't be on, but, you know, we'll meet up again. You know, so hopefully your computer's doing well. Anti-shout to his computer for telling him it's going to take forever to make those updates. Boo. Yeah.
Boo.
Boo, boo, creepy doctor. Hooray, beer. wait. I mean, let's see. Shout out to, let's see. What's a shout out? Well, anti-shout to unpacking. I feel like I have more anti-shouts. Anti-shout to unpacking because it sucks just as much as packing, if not more. Anti-shout out to, oh, what's that scumbag?
which one?
Yeah, race car driver.
Kurt Stewart.
Yeah, what the fuck, man?
Yeah, he killed that dude.
Yeah, I mean that.
And I say that like not an accident. He killed that dude.
Yeah, I mean, I wish we had a closer up shot to see, like, if that guy put himself in the wrong spot. Like, in
he
the
did. He got out of his fucking car.
Yeah. So, well, for those who don't know what the hell we're talking about, basically, so, you know, when you're a NASCAR driver, sometimes you also get into other kinds of races. You're not just, like, strictly, using stock cars all the time. So he was playing, what is it, on dirt track.
Yep.
And, he nubbed this guy a little bit to basically throw him into the wall, knock out his back tire, and put him out of the race. So while they're in the caution laps, the guy gets out, and this is like a 20-year-old kid,
yeah.
Points for Stewart, tries to confront him. You hear a revving of the engine, which seems to suggest, and for people that were there, it seemed like it was Tony Stewart revving his engine, zoomed through the caution and hit him and killed him on the spot.
Yeah. There's some speculation, and I think these people were just trying to look out for Tony Stewart, but there's speculation that he did it to try and scare the kid. But I don't give a fuck if you tried to scare the kid. That's still a criminal act.
Yeah, that's was it vehicular manslaughter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's not murder, it's manslaughter. I mean, if he fucking flat out did it on purpose, then it's murder in my eyes. I don't fuck how you look at it.
If he has a intent, right? That's the key.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anti-shout to that guy.
Yeah, scumbag.
Yeah, exactly.
Eat a big fat dick.
Yeah. Shout out to Houston, man. I'm happy that he's gonna have some fun this weekend, and, I mean, I'm having fun, but not as fun as he has, cause he's going over to Gen Con this weekend.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, he's gonna get to meet up with Calvin.
Oh, is he going up there?
Chase Field will be there, yeah.
Hey, shout out to Layfield. Why not? I mean, they're doing some good stuff over at Direct Damage Cast. Check it out, guys, if you haven't listened. Sometimes some imp randomly shows up on episodes too, from what I hear.
I've been on a couple. I get shout outs in like all of them though. That's like the greatest thing in the world. Dude, I don't know what it is. Like, I just love getting shout outs.
Yeah.
That's why I give shout outs to as many people as I can, because just hearing my name on a cast like puts a smile on my face, even though by now I should be used to it.
Fair enough, man.
You know the feeling. It's like when Chewy sends you that invite to do Monday Night Magic. It's like, I've done it like 5 times, but it's still great.
It's a blast.
I'm going to do Monday Night Magic.
Yeah, exactly. It's a blast hopping on other casts. Like, I was on Spike Feed this week, actually, which just came out late last night. Yeah, Monday. Yeah, it was out Monday night. So have a listen. It was my second time on their cast, which was fun. Good guys. I mean, they're short. They're kind of to the point. They're still keeping it fun, you know. They're not just going, you know, here's the news really, really fast and blowing through it. They're doing a good job with it.
It's another news show.
It's a news show, but they talk about various topics that are the hot button topic of the internet. Like, I think we talked about PPTQ and that stuff going on. And
yeah, you know what? We never even got into it over here. Like, we mentioned that you have to play a PTQ to get to the PTQ, and I just, like, it just is what it is. I'm used to them making changes like that, and I just don't care.
Yeah, I mean, my only beef with it, and I'm not sure if others feel the same way, but this is my guess what's going to happen, right? I won't go too far off the rails here, but so let's just say, like, we're in Connecticut, right? And we got like 300 grinders in the Connecticut area, roughly, right?
Yep.
There's no way all these PPTQs in the area are all going to be on the same weekend, because that would be one way to split all those grinders up, and you would have nice, like, 40, 50-person tournaments, like a GPT kind of.
Yeah.
They're going to try to get, you know, they're trying to get as much money as possible, so it's best for the LGSs to stagger all these things.
Correct.
Well, that large group is going to go to as many PPTQs as possible until they qualify, and there's not going to be so many of them where, like, late in the season, it's only going to be 50 people. Like, I doubt that. So my fear is you're going to have some good TOs, like the two over here that I can shout out to are Ice Imports. They run a good shop, but the one I frequent the most is Kineticon. They know they should go rent a space to hold that many people, because mm-hmm. their own stores are not going to hold that many people. But you're going to have the other advanced stores that are not as experienced in the TO business, and they're going to try to jam everybody in their store, and it's going to be pretty bad. So maybe they have a lower turnout, because maybe some grinders will see that and go, this is going to be terrible. But that's my fear, is I don't think it's going to be spread out as WotC kind of made it sound like when they were selling this. But
it won't be as smooth. Like, that is a problem. Like, I can see the place that I typically do play at. Like, he can hold, honestly, about 32 people, and any more than that is just, it's almost impossible in his building. It's just not big enough, and I don't see him running out of space. So yeah. I can see that issue, but at the same time, I can also see the good side of this, where I've gone to PCQs and people have gone with me who, like, I look right at them and go, you don't have a snowball's chance in hell at winning this. Like, yeah. You shouldn't be here yet. And it's going to get rid of the chaff. And when you show up to these, they're going to be like the store boss Pro Tours.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to lead to better play at the PTQs.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to what the regional PTQs look like, because it seems like if they lay it out correctly,
yeah, that's what I mean.
they will get like around 100 or so, and like that will be a really good tournament, and because you have quality players, and you know, you don't have the pressure of trying to spike it. You just have to do well enough. And I'm guessing, like, I think most of the regionals are going to be big enough where it's going to be top 8. Like, I don't think it's going to be 300-400 people, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be, like, 200-ish. Like, enough to pass that 128 mark. So, I'm glad that the regional PTQs are definitely improved. And I think they're going to sort out the LGS problems fairly quickly once they start seeing, like, people post messages where they're like, yeah, they tried to jam 150 people in this space that holds 30, and it's, like, not working out.
Yeah, the fire marshal kicked out 100 of us.
Yeah. Or who knows? Maybe some TOs will get smart and they'll do pre-regs and cap it and just say, hey, maybe they have to do that. And you know what? I commend them if they know to do that, but you know, I'm just dreaming.
Well, you know what? I mean, between my show, your show, and all the other shows out there, if we as a community tell everyone out there to talk to your LGS that is an advanced store and tell them, hey, if you can't rent a space to do this PTQ, then you need to cap it. Tell your LGS that, because a lot of store owners just don't know this shit. They're just store owners.
Yeah, and you know what? You know, I'll pass the info along, because Scotty Mac, we just posted that episode, I think today or yesterday, Tuesday or Monday of this week. And, you know, it seems on the surface that, you know, renting a hotel, like was a hotel ballroom or like a bigger space like that, or Knights of Columbus or something like that is daunting.
Dude, you can get
it's really not.
You can get like a local fire hall. For fucking 50 to 100 bucks all day long. They don't charge shit for nothing. And usually in those, you can fit, you know, even in a small fire hall, you can usually fit 100 people.
Yeah, so if you want to help out your store owner with trying to get a space, I believe the name he threw out there, or if you want to double check, just go towards the end of or the middle or the end of the last episode. Was it 97 with Scotty Mac? Basically, find Scotty Mac. Kelly Ackerman is a TO up in Canada with the Harry Tarantula, I think, or Harry T or something like that.
Yeah, Harry T.
You know, Scotty said, you know, he's very open to talk with on all those logistics. So at least there's a contact for the TO to work with to get a really good experience for everybody, you know? And I think it works out in the long run anyways, because say you get that bigger space, you get that many people signing up, and like you can run all sorts of side events with that many people. It could be a really good moneymaker if you plan it well.
Yeah, I've met Kelly.
Oh, really?
I was on a heavy meta episode with him one time.
Okay.
And yeah, he's a really good guy, easy to talk to. I mean, he'll respond on Twitter. Just get a hold of him. He's starting Harry T's Toronto. I think he's starting face-to-face Toronto.
Yeah, it's face-to-face Toronto, yep.
Yeah, and he's going to run that. He doesn't know when it's going to start or open, but, I mean, like, yeah, he's a good dude. You can get a hold of him. Yeah. So let's see, those are your shout outs, correct?
sure, why not?
Yeah, we got off the rails again when
one last one. Dude, this is delicious.
Delicious? Yeah, bacon? Yeah. Shout out to bacon.
Oh yeah. Shout out to Ted's. So if you're ever in the Central Connecticut area, you need to have a steamed cheeseburger. Ted's is the place to do it. Yeah. So imagine a box, a metal box that's sitting over a flame.
Yeah, I get that.
And
there's water in it.
Yep. So in these like little metal trays, you got a thing of beef. So all that fat steams out, but the delicious beef is still there to pull out of the tray. And then in another box on the other side is these nice, beautiful blocks of Vermont cheddar. In a steamer, it gets super gooey and absolutely delicious. So my wife and I decided to go back there for dinner on a Friday night, had steamed cheeseburgers with, you know, I got mine with bacon, of course. And
it's steamed, so it's healthy.
Yeah, of course. You got to justify it somehow, right? And we got French fries with steamed cheese on it, like the delicious gooey cheese. Hopefully she doesn't hear me. I went back the next day. And I got what they called, their steamed cheese. It's basically, a grilled cheese with the gooey cheese. And I added bacon and tomato to that thing. Like that alone, ridiculous.
Is the bacon steamed?
No. Bacon's crispy.
Yeah, that's just soaking the grease.
It's so good. So yeah, if you're ever in like the Central Connecticut area, there's Ted's, the original ones in Meriden. If you want like the original like hole in the wall experience, which is perfectly fine, I go to the one over in Cromwell because you've got a little more elbow room and they actually have French fries versus those hash brown potatoes, which I mean, or home fries, I should say. Home fries are fine. You can do that with the cheese if you want the original experience, but you know, not my bag compared to the French fries with cheese. So yeah, shout out to Ted's, and that will cap my shout outs.
I have one more shout out.
Go for it.
Shout out to John Celso. Awesome wife for letting him jump on last minute, because you know he had to ask the wife.
You know how it works,
dude. I can't wait till I actually get to meet her. I mean, you've met my wife.
Yeah, she's super nice. She really is.
I'm sure, you know, I should get along with your wife just fine, and maybe when I come to Providence I'll finally get to meet her.
Yeah, seriously,
I think I am, dude. Like, I mean, I'm diving into standard. If I'm gonna dive in, I'm fucking diving in.
Yeah, I mean, I'll play standard just to go hang out, or actually do the same thing I've been doing at the GPs, just like hang out, play side events, and go drink and eat.
I played standard at the last GP that I was with you. This is a standard GP, why not?
That's true. It depends on the format. If there's a deck that I like, especially one that draws many cards, so Posse, send me deck lists when Khans of Tarkir comes out, or whatever the last set is, send me the deck list that draws the most cards. I'll gladly play it.
Yeah, it's sad.
For Divination.
I'm already looking forward to one of those burgers. There's a place right up the road. It's a little microbrewery. It's right up the road from the convention center. They make this buffalo burger that is just unreal, and they always have like 16 different types of beer on tap that they made in-house.
Huh. Do you know what the name of it is?
I do not, but I know exactly where it's at. Like, you leave the convention center, you go past the Dunkin' Donut Center, you come to the crazy fucking, like, six-way where the Hilton's on one side.
Yeah, I think
Hasbro is right here. Right across from Hasbro on the six way. It's right there on the corner. You eat outside and shit, and it's gorgeous, man.
Yeah, I see a couple things. Maybe is it John Harvard? No, I don't think so.
I honestly do not remember the name of it. I just remember the Buffalo Burger was fucking banging.
Well, either way, I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. But guys, next week we're going to go over the WMCQ1, and that's it, because SCG is going to Gen Con and they don't say that there is an open and there is no GPs. So it's going to be another rambling episode, kind of like this one, but without Celso, so it won't be as rambly.
That's true. Fair point.
Unless Celso's coming back, then it'll be very rambly.
And then I'm sure we'll have Ryan and I arguing about various modern things. And
yeah, probably. I don't know. It just is what it is.
As long as it's entertaining, right? Who cares?
That's it. As long as it's entertaining. But until next week, guys.
Fuck yeah, Scandinavia.
Have a good one. And remember, you ain't never had a friend like me.
Master, I don't think you quite realize what you got here. So why don't you just ruminate whilst I illuminate the possibilities? Well, Alibaba had them 40 thieves. Sherazade had 1,000 tails. Master, you in luck, cause up your sleeve. She got a brand of magic never fails. You got some power in your corner now. Some heavy ammunition in your camp. You got some punch. The hand shop you and house. All you gotta do is rub that lamp. And I'll say,
Mr. Lanza, what will your pleasure be?
Let me take your other judges down.
You ain't never had a friend like me.
Life is your restaurant, and
I'm your melody.
Come on, whisper what it is you want. You ain't never had a friend like me.
Yes, sir. We pride ourselves on service.
You're the boss, the king, the shah.
Say what you wish. It's yours, true dish. About a little more baklava. Add some of column A. Try all of column B. I'm in the mood to help you, dude. You ain't never had a friend like me. No, no. Can your friends do this? Can your friends do that? Can your friends pull this out their little hat? Can your friends go?
Hey, look at here.
Can your friends go abracadabra? Let it rip!
And then make the sucker disappear.
Don't you see? Just like your bloody hat. I'm here to answer all your business.
You got a genie boy charge the pan. I got a power to help you out. So what you wish, I really want to know.
You got a list that's 3 miles long, no doubt. Well, all you got to do is rub like so.
Oh, Mr.
sir, a Latin, sir. Have a push off, two or three. I'm on the job. You stay, nay, Bob. You ain't never had a friend. Never had a friend. You ain't never.